Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, November 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Centers for Disease Control is advising U.S. consumers not to eat any romaine lettuce in response to a new multi-state outbreak of illnesses caused by a dangerous type of E. coli. The CDC also says retailers and restaurants should not serve or sell any romaine lettuce until more is learned about the outbreak.
You don't have to worry about that with me.
Just don't like the taste of it, huh?
If it was like, dude, stay away from chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. I'd be like, no!
I'm in trouble.
I eat romaine every day.
Do you?
For lunch. Yeah. Yeah, the salad that I get is romaine lettuce.
Don't eat it.
But they're going to throw all the restaurants should be throwing it all out. Mm-hmm. And grocery stores, like every bit of it, I read.
If I was a restaurant, I'd buy it in bulk because it's never going to be cheaper.
That's true.
But you know what? It's not a recall yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
Hold it and don't eat it yet.
Well, no. That's why the CDC is putting this out, because they're saying, I guess they're trying to identify exactly where it came from.
Interesting.
So they're saying don't eat it, but they don't have a specific, company that has to recall.
I heard, Kathy, if you do eat it, so the symptoms include your lips turning extremely bright red.
What? Are you kidding me?
Kathy is wearing this super duper bright red lipstick this morning.
It is pretty bright.
I walked into the office this morning and I had just put it on. I got obviously I used a mirror to put it on, but I walked past the mirror and I started laughing. Steve's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, I got new lipstick.
I thought with your past track record that you might have put blush on your lips.
Right. No, that's what he said. He goes, is it lipstick?
Yeah.
It's actually lipstick, yes. So officials say 32 people in 11 states were infected by the outbreak strain between October 8th and October 31st. 13 people were hospitalized, including one person who developed a type of kidney failure, but no deaths have been reported.
Kathy, I store my produce with rotting raw chicken. Is that a good practice, or should I change that?
That's like my diet.
Yeah.
The CDC advises anyone who has any type of romaine lettuce in their home should not eat it and should throw it away. Even if you've already eaten some and you haven't gotten sick, they're saying get rid of it. This includes all types of uses of romaine lettuce, such as whole heads of romaine, hearts of romaine, and bags and boxes of pre-cut lettuce and salad mixes that contain romaine, including baby romaine, spring mix, and Caesar salad.
These bag salads and stuff like that. Remember a while ago we had a big outbreak of this? I never eat that stuff.
No, really?
I eat it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Every time I go to the grocery store,
we stop. Bag of salad?
Yep.
Yeah, what's your favorite kind?
I usually go with spinach, sometimes the mixed greens or whatever, but I'm a romaine guy from time to time.
I'm a romaine man.
I always feel like it rots quicker. Like, it just gets bad, and you can kind of see it go.
I don't like it because it's usually crawling with diseases. Yeah. That's the main thing.
The CDC recommends that if you do not know if the lettuce is romaine or whether a salad mix contains romaine, just don't eat it, throw it away. They also advise consumers to wash and sanitize drawers or shelves and refrigerators where romaine was stored. FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says that the agency doesn't have enough information to request suppliers issue a recall, but he says suppliers can help by withdrawing romaine products until the contamination can be identified. People usually get sick from the Shiga toxin producing E. coli 2 to 8 days after swallowing the germ. The outbreak is also affecting Canada, where 18 cases have been identified.
Wow. I got a text from somebody that says I just came from Wawa and they threw all their salads out due to this. So
wow.
Yep. Yeah, they're asking all the restaurants, all of any place that has these to kind of take it off the shelves and just get rid of it. And if you do have it in your refrigerator, the CDC says throw it away.
To your point, though, Casey, when was the last time you heard a cookie recall?
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard a chocolate chip cookie recall?
You don't?
Never, bro.
Never.
Ever.
A very sad story. Two children and two adults were found dead Tuesday at a burning mansion that was intentionally set ablaze in an upscale community near the New Jersey shore, officials said. One of the owners of the home is a technology CEO who is with a relative whose home also caught fire Tuesday, records show. Authorities say that they were investigating whether the two blazes were connected. Three severely burned bodies were found inside the mansion in Colts Neck.
Wow.
And a man's body was discovered outside. Monmouth County officials have not released the identities, and a medical examiner Center was still investigating how the four people died. Firefighters responded to the fire about 1:30 in the afternoon yesterday, and it was still burning hours later. Video showed firefighters battling the blaze as smoke poured from the roof of the two-story home, which is surrounded by fields and includes a large swimming pool. Helicopter footage showed a sheet in the middle of the yard next to the 5,700-square-foot house with police tape. Colts Neck is a well-to-do community about 50 miles south of New York City and is home to many horse farms. Typical homes in the town of about 10,000 are valued about $750,000. Bruce Springsteen owns an estate there, and his son is a former member of the fire department. Former Daily Show host Jon Stewart and his wife operate an animal sanctuary there, and Queen Latifah sold her mansion there in 2015. Public records show that the mansion that burned Tuesday is owned by 50-year-old Keith Canero and 45-year-old Jennifer Canero. Earlier in the day, officials said that there was a fire at another home in Ocean Township about 10 miles from Colts Neck. Public records show that that home is owned by Paul and Susan Canero, and that Keith and Paul shared at least one address in New York several decades
ago. This is wild.
Yeah, very strange. So we'll find out more information about that, I'm sure. AAA estimates that 54 million Americans will travel from now through Sunday, which would be the most in more than 10 years. Philadelphia International Airport is expected to be hectic today as people prepare to head to their holiday destination. Airline Watchers expects Wednesday will be the second busiest day of the holiday period behind Sunday, when many travelers are returning home. So they're saying Sunday actually going to be worse than today.
Do you know what they say? It's going to be uncrowded method of traveling is travel in any truck that was formerly carrying romaine lettuce,
right? Hey, I'm wondering how the trains will be. Nick's taking a train today.
Yeah.
He'll be headed down to 30th Street Station. Now, it may not be airport level busy, but that's going to be insane, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love traveling by train, but today might be a challenge. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I did it years and years ago. I came actually up from D.C. to Philly to be with my family here. And then this year I'm going down to visit my family outside of D.C. So I'll be in 30th Street Station right around rush hour. So we'll see.
I have a clear memory of traveling on the train for one of the holidays. I forget which one it was, by necessity. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That sucker was packed.
Do you have your tickets already?
I got the ticket in advance, And so I'll be taking SEPTA into the city and then Amtrak down to D.C.
So lines at the airport were already growing by 4 a.m. this morning, but 6ABC said it seemed organized and to be running smoothly at that point. The airport says that they are expecting at least 40,000 people to make their way through security. That is about 10,000 more than people typically go through on a typical day. About 90% of people will be traveling by car for the holiday. A little over 500,000 people in the Philadelphia area will be traveling more than 15 miles outside of the region. This year is expected to be the busiest holiday travel season since 2005. If you're getting ready to travel to your holiday destination today, it is recommended that you give yourself plenty of time to get through security and to your destination. And Nick, if you are, you're taking SEPTA into the city.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers, who have won three games in a row, have yet to lose at home, will be playing in South Philly again tonight. Woo! With a game against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Sixers are the only team in the NBA without a loss at home this season. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. In other Sixers news, guard Markelle Fultz, the number one overall pick in the 2017 draft, is scheduled to see a shoulder specialist early next week at the direction of his agent, Raymond Brothers. Fultz will not participate in team practices or games until after the specialist has evaluated him. Sixers coach Brett Brown and general manager Elton Brand said they weren't aware of any issue with Fultz prior to Brand receiving a call from Fultz's agent yesterday morning, saying that the 20-year-old guard would not be playing until at least next week. The Flyers, who have been off since Saturday, return to the ice tonight with the game against the Sabres in Buffalo. The Sabres have won 6 straight games and are the third-best team in the Eastern Conference with 13 wins and 28 points. The puck drops at 7:30, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. Yay! And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. All right, it is already 6:25. We got to hurry up because I have a lot of entertainment stuff. We have a lot going on today that I need to bring you up to speed on what is taking place.
And an early morning interview, right?
We have an early morning interview. We're going to talk to Mark Wahlberg before 7 a.m., so we got to move along very, very quickly.
That's at the end of his five-hour workout.
That will be right at the tail end, probably. So, number one, this morning, Kathy's holiday activity.
Yeah, hey!
We're going to get to that.
Holiday activities.
In the 7 o'clock hour, so get yourself set for that. We'll have all the information laid out to you and a new jingle to go along with that as well.
I was at one last night.
I saw a picture of you.
Yeah.
We'll have that ready for you. We have a Not Your Average listener on the program today. We'll find out what they're all about. We are going to talk to Kevin Smith as well. He's making good. We were supposed to talk to him earlier in the week, but he was asleep.
Yes, it happens sometimes. People do sleep.
But we will have him on the program. We have a couple of charity things that we are going to go over as well. And I need to tell you this right now, the Camp Out for Hunger, we are in the planning process, is still, even though it's less than a week away.
Yeah.
But we've had something come up, and we have to let you know that the skate on Flyers Ice is not going to happen. That's been canceled. And the Flyers organization has canceled that, put the kibosh on it. So if you were planning on doing that, it is now not going to happen. So make sure that you let everyone know who was planning on bringing their skates down. It's not going to go on. We're not happy about it, but there's nothing we can do about it. So just got to give you the heads up, and I'm going to reiterate that information all morning long. So those who are planning on doing that are well aware of that. But Monday, comedy night is taking place. The Calendar Girls are going to be there. We are going to have a damn good time. We hope that you're going to be a part of the camp out at some point next week. Marissa has set up a very comprehensive information link on PrestonandSteve.com that's got a list of all kinds of stuff that's happening at the camp out. So go take a look at that. Make your plans to come and join us for the event. We'll take a break because in about 20 minutes, Mark Wahlberg on the show, and we are dying to talk to him. So we'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spot for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nice job, Kathy. All right, we're going to do a stupid question. Tickets to see Joe Perry. No, we're not.
Oh, no, we're not. No, no,
no. I just read this morning it was canceled.
I've totally forgot. You were going to do beer for this one, so you got the Yards Brawler.
All right, let's do Yards Brawler. And I'll have that story and music news coming up later on this morning. This show's been canceled.
I don't feel so good.
All right, so question this morning for beer, Yards Brawler. Let's see. Male turkeys are called gobblers or toms. What are female turkeys called?
Oh, I know this.
215-263-WMMR. It's not Strom Thurmond, so don't write that down. All right, let me see. No, it's not that either.
No?
215-263-WMMR. Male turkeys are called gobblers or toms, and female turkeys are called what? It's not a see you next Tuesday.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought it's a pejorative in the turkey world.
Birthdays today on Wednesday, November 21st include Bjork. Bjork, the singer. You know what I was thinking about? If you had Bjork in with Snort Dort. That would definitely fit right in. Snort Bjork. Snort Bjork.
There is one of the players on SNL does a dead-on Bjork singing and talking impression, and she did it on The Tonight Show a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Spot on.
She's
loony, right?
She's Icelandic, and she is loony, yes.
Yeah. Was it the Ice Cubes? What was the band she was originally with?
Mm. No, she was...
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Do I know any of her music?
Nick's going to have to look it up. She had a fairly high profile hit with a song called Big Time Sensuality.
Yeah.
And It's Oh So Quiet was this little big band
thing. It's Oh So Quiet.
Nick?
And the Sugar Cubes.
Sugar Cubes.
And then what was the video that played on MTV all the time with the running bear? And it was like really trippy video. And it was around the same time as... like Smashing Pumpkins' first record that came out, that she there was a hit on MTV.
Who let the Bjork out?
I'm not sure.
It was not Who Let the Bjork Out.
So Snort Bjork is 53 today, so happy birthday to you. Actress Jenna Malone.
Yes.
Love her. She was a child actress at first. She was in the beginning. She plays Jodie Foster's character in the beginning, Contact.
Yeah.
She's a little kid in that. Yeah. And then she's in Stepmom, and she was in Sucker Punch and The Hunger Games. She was in Catching Fire. She was in three of them, I believe. She's 35 today. Always thought she was great. Nicolette Sheridan, Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, man, she has been surgeried up, Kathy, lately. We used to, you and I are big Desperate Housewives fans. Yep. She was heading down that path on that show. Originally, though, like in The Sure Thing, I think she was The Sure Thing, wasn't she?
Yep, you're right.
So she was, you know, and
a stunner.
Longtime girlfriend of Michael Bolton.
55 years old today. Goldie Hawn.
Love her.
She's great. And talk about somebody who's not really gone the surgery route. She's
doesn't appear to be.
Aging gracefully.
Yeah. And I would disagree with that. I think she's probably had some.
A little bit?
Yeah.
If she has, not too much.
Yeah, not too much because she looks. She doesn't look.
She looks like a mess.
Yeah.
She's a mess. She looks natural, you know? Sure. Anyway, she's 73 years old today. And then the last birthday I saw is Ken Griffey Jr., the outfielder, great baseball player, 49 years old today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Male turkeys are called gobblers or toms, and female turkeys are called what? And I will go to Debbie, see if she knows the answer. Hey, Debbie, good morning.
Good morning.
Debbie, what are female turkeys called?
Hens?
Of course, hens, yes.
That's my bad, Preston. I'm
just going to hit the button.
All right.
All right, congratulations to you, Debbie. We are going to set you up with a case of beer. We have a case of Yards Brawler, 16-ounce pounders. Yards Brawler beer is 4.2% ABV, smooth and malty, and the perfect flavor profile. When you're tired of pumpkin spiced everything, you can pick up a case of Pounders at Capone's on West Germantown Pike, and that is in Norristown. We'll start with this. Sarah Michelle Gellar posted a Thinspiration post.
Ooh.
Featuring herself as a reminder to herself and others not to overdo it around the holidays. And she had written, I'm just going to pin these up all over my house as a reminder not to overeat on Thursday. And she hashtagged it Thanksgiving prep. What?
Okay. I just shut up and overeat on Thursday and don't guilt anybody else that's going to have a lot of turkey and stuffing and pie on Thursday.
Anyway.
She's doing it for herself.
Yeah, she captioned the throwback pics from 2007, a Maxim spread, which she looks absolutely amazing. And in fact, when I first saw this, I'm like, does she look like that now?
No, she does not.
No, she does not.
No, but she's always, I thought, been a delightful and attractive young lady.
Yeah, so she said, the story says not all social media users were impressed. A few had written things along the lines of your caption is problematic, and I suggest you do some research on eating disorders, the mental health issues that go along with them, and how diet culture is harmful to women. Girls look up to you, and you should be mindful of the message you're sending, said one fan. But others hailed her common sense approach to holiday eating. One wrote, thank you for promoting a healthy lifestyle. You can enjoy Thanksgiving without going crazy. And then you have Casey who says, shut up.
Shut up.
Eat whatever you want.
Yeah, mine has nothing to do with eating disorders or anything like that.
Do you put up pictures around the house of you with a big piece of pie in your mouth?
I do not.
Remind yourself to do this.
Yes. Yeah.
She's been married to Freddie Prinze Jr. for 16 years. They share two children, Charlotte Grace and Rocky. That's three children. Oh, Charlotte Grace is one child. Okay.
Yeah, that was an accident. And Rocky. I was not planned.
That's right. So anyhow, she was catching a little bit of flack. But here's the thing about stories like that. Because, of course, I read, you know, social media reacted, and not all of it was positive. When is the last time you've seen something that all of the social media reactions
were positive? It doesn't matter what you do.
There's always something.
You could save a warehouse full of kittens from a fire.
Yes.
You'd be called a Nazi.
Somebody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right. Breakups are awkward in the best of circumstances. Now imagine there's a $2 million diamond ring in the mix. Ooh. That's what's happening in Paris Hilton and Chris Zilka's split amid reports that she dumped him but is hanging on to the mesmerizingly large 20-carat pear-shaped sparkler that he proposed with. 20 carats.
Right.
It's a football of a diamond.
So where does Zilka's money come from? Can you do a little checkup on that, Nick?
Yeah.
If it is indeed his money or if he borrowed the money from her to buy the ring.
According to TMZ, Hilton is hanging on to the ring, but that Zilka plans a hard ask if Paris doesn't cough up the good soon.
Now, she's worth that many times over.
Yeah,
she doesn't need that.
She wipes her ass with that. I mean, this guy is...
That would open up large cuts and abrasions, I think, if you were to take a jagged diamond and run along the soft creases of your anus.
I meant with the cash that paid for the diamond, not the actual diamond itself, because that would be dangerous.
Soft creases of your anus
if you pulled a sharp diamond along.
But he, I mean, I remember him from The Leftovers, so I don't think he paid for that thing straight up.
You don't think he made like 50, 60 million off The Leftovers?
Hilton hasn't been the most devoted of caretakers of the gem thus far, managing to lose it at a Miami rave in March, just 4 months after receiving it.
You remember, Kathy, when you occasionally misplace your $2 and $3 million rings?
At a rave.
Yeah. She had said it was just so heavy and big, it literally flew off.
Oh, my God. It fell
hurts
off.
So much. This big, huge ring that's worth $1 million. It's so heavy.
And into an ice bucket that she had explained on Twitter. Hilton, who hasn't publicly commented on her breakup, alluded to it in an Instagram post. She dressed up as Marilyn Monroe and shared a favorite quote from The Siren as her caption, "I believe that everything happens for a reason. People change so that you can learn to let go. Things go wrong so that you appreciate them when they're right. You believe lies so you eventually learn to trust no one but yourself. And sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together."
I love the deal with starlets putting Marilyn Monroe quotes on their like rib cage and stuff like that, forgetting that she died of an overdose alone.
Yes.
She also wasn't that bright, right?
She was actually brighter than she let on.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like mostly Chris Zilka is a struggling actor. And unless I'm missing something about his family background. He made I don't know if he made a ton of cash on Piranha 3 Double D, which came out in 2012.
No, they paid him $50 million for that.
Yeah. So I think that she probably bought it and probably has some rights to it.
All right. Meghan Markle floated down the aisle in her Claire White Keller for Givenchy gown. Why not
Givenchy?
For Givenchy? Givenchy. She created one of the fashion moments of the year, and if not the decade. Not everyone was thrilled, of course, per a new report in the Daily Mail. Queen Elizabeth was a little bit shook over her choice of color.
Really?
Per that report, the Queen is said to have expressed surprise that Meghan, a divorcee, wore quite such a white dress for her wedding.
We'd be very happy if you were to stop dressing like a whore.
These aren't the first stirrings of disapproval from on high. The Queen also reportedly told palace officials,
"Why do you always look like a slut?"
to ask her to start dressing less like a Hollywood star.
"Hail, cheapo whore is here."
And more like a royal. So
Yeah, no, she was wearing something that we all deemed fairly conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was down in Australia. And that apparently went against royal protocol.
Wait, was it the one where you could
see her full ass and her nipples?
I can fully see the crack of your buttocks and your nipple.
Moving on, Frankie Muniz's home got flooded. His cat had turned on the faucet. And he lost his beloved uncle. This all happened within a few days.
The cat killed the uncle?
No, they were separate incidents. But it looks like things may be turning around. His new fiance, Paige Price, shared their happy news on Instagram. Yeah, she wrote, "When you're a little girl, you dream of marrying the man of your dreams." It was a slideshow of them kissing, embracing, and looking thrilled in a romantic outdoor setting with lanterns.
And sometimes that doesn't work out. So you marry Frankie Muniz. In fact, there are about 7 men in my dreams that didn't pan out. And then I said, okay, who's this? Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah, okay.
No, she said, you think of all the extravagant things from the way he asks you to the dress you're going to wear to the music you're going to dance to with your father.
I love you.
Sometimes reality has a tendency to overstep your dreams and really surprise you. She added that Muniz is the master of proposals.
He suffers from and had been suffering from strokes, like little mini strokes. But they've taken its toll on him over the years.
Yeah, yep. Jennifer Garner and her new flame, John Miller, are planning to spend the upcoming holidays together. A source reveals in the new issue of Us Weekly.
That's a bold move to be with the people you love on the holidays.
The 46-year-old Garner will spend Thanksgiving with Ben Affleck.
Oh.
And their 3 children, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. And then
you know what this means.
You'll see Miller late. What?
He's doing another Batman.
Is that what that means?
It's clear.
It's clear. I can see. Yep.
Yeah.
On Christmas, the pair will reportedly embark on a romantic getaway.
I think that if you are in a situation where the family is split and you can keep everything on an even keel and get together for the holiday, I love to see that.
That's a win.
That's a win if things have gone asunder and you can still do that. And, it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Steve, do you think when Christian Bale saw Ben Affleck's Batman have a voice changer in his neck, he was like, damn it, why didn't we think of that?
I went through 9 cases of Sucrets. No, I think think ultimately it was a choice. He probably didn't want to if they had offered it. I think he wanted to do this.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's a very method guy.
Right.
He wants to keep things
I'll do it myself.
Pure. Yeah.
Yeah. I like talking about this. Paul, I could do it all day.
Yeah.
See? Look at that. The camera's not even rolling. I'm still doing it. Yeah. Impressed?
More than 2 years after he bid farewell to his longtime love, Diane Kruger, it seems 40-year-old Joshua Jackson may have a new leading lady in his life.
She didn't like her dad, Freddie.
No.
Freddie Kruger? Yeah. He was spotted out with actress Jodie Turner-Smith on Sunday, keeping it casual and fun over lunch. She can be seen next in the new sci-fi series Night Flyers.
Yeah, I saw a picture of them together. I was wondering who she was. Okay.
Which debuts December 2nd. Meanwhile, Kruger has found new love with The Walking Dead's Norman Reedus. Details are scant, but according to reports, the pair recently welcomed a child together. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, Reedus actually started modeling. He was a model years ago. And
well, he's got a unique look about him.
That's that dirty, no, I wouldn't say heroin chic, but that dirty,
no, I know what you mean.
Kind of look. You know what I'm saying?
His eyes have a unique look to them.
Hangdog.
So I could see that. A lot of times they look for somebody who is attractive but has a certain...
Like us.
Method.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like us. Yeah. We have that swagger. Yeah. There's that... it's ridiculous that they're model, kind of model look.
They're
unpleasant to look at model looks. If they were in no light, that'd probably be better. The further away, the better. That's the kind of models they're looking for.
It's a gimmick, but, you know, it's a way to make money.
I'd prefer they not wear my line kind of model.
Kathy, are you familiar with Norman Reedus by any chance?
No.
Okay.
He has a manly man sort of thing. That's his deal.
What else we got here? 51-year-old Nicole Kidman has been named Variety Show Woman of the Year. Variety's Show Woman of the Year. I'm sorry. And not Variety Show Woman of the Year.
What does she do? She does
Variety's plates. Variety's Show Woman of the Year. There you go.
Oh.
And inside the magazine, she opens up about moving to the U.S. from Australia after falling in love with Tom Cruise on the set of Days of Thunder. In the piece, her pal, Hugh Jackman, tells Variety that she and Cruise bonded over their love of thrills. Jackman said, did you know that she can jump out of a plane at 10,000 feet? He said, I think one day she did it like 6 times. Yeah. With no parachute. No.
That hurt. That was unpleasant.
Let's do it again.
Gotta admit, if we can bring it down below 10,000, I'd really appreciate it.
No, she and Tom used to do it. She loved it. But apparently they were, you know, they were into thrill stuff. But I didn't know she did skydiving that much.
So she's saying basically Cruise in his real life is into the thrill seeking as well.
You know, he did the race car driving. Yeah, it was his thing. So anyhow, all right, we're gonna break into the middle of the entertainment stories to talk about a movie that is very entertaining. Who's seen it here? Did you?
I did. Well, yeah, I did the Q&A with Sean Anders, the writer and director.
Sean in to talk about the movie.
Super nice guy.
I think this is going to be one of the holiday movies to see.
Essentially, it's Sean's story because he had adopted 3 kids.
Yeah.
I mean, like immediately, and hence the film is titled Instant Family. Well, the star of that movie is on the line. We love having him on the program. Please welcome this morning, Mr. Mark Wahlberg.
Yay!
Hey, Mark.
Guys, good morning. Happy holidays.
Hey,
same to you.
Same to you, sir. Listen, speaking of holidays, with your brood, what is that like, getting all these people? We're talking about families with Instant Family. You've already got a large group. Is it nuts around that? Do you guys just keep it the family, or do you do a big, big gathering thing?
You know, Christmas is usually just us. Thanksgiving, my sister, her husband, and twins are coming to the house. We're actually all going from Boston today after I finish shooting.
Okay.
But we'll be all together for Thanksgiving, which will be nice. But nothing ever too crazy. You know, it's been nice being in Boston because my kids don't get a lot of opportunity to see their cousins and their aunts and uncles and grandma. So it's nice to be here and let them get all that stuff out now.
right. Yeah,
that's cool, man.
Holiday.
Are you on the East Coast right now?
I am. I'm in Boston. I'm shooting a movie called Wonderland right now. So I'm looking forward to heading home today and getting the weekend off and then back to the grind.
Did we catch you in the middle of your workout, or is that done for the day?
Oh, I finished the workout at 5.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Are you surprised at all the press that got about your regimen? And I know James Corden tried to replicate it and almost died.
I was, you know, it was one of those things where I was just getting up super early, getting everything done before the kids get up, and then kind of getting after the rest of my day. And then, my publicist was like, oh, do you mind if I share your schedule with the world. She didn't tell me who she was sharing with. I said, yeah, I don't care. And then next thing you know, it was like,
you know,
like the guy, for some reason, there was a miscue there. People thought I took a shower from 6 a.m. to 7:30. There's no hour and a half.
You'd be one waterlogged bastard. You know, it's funny, though, because we wake up, and it's something that I thought would never be part of the deal. But the earlier shift, getting stuff done earlier now, has a real attraction to it. And then being able to relax for the latter part of the day. But, yeah, I think just biologically you start to shift earlier as you get older, you know?
Yeah, it's nice, you know, especially if you're waking up and you're not hungover. You
feel good. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the film. Like we were saying, we had Sean Anders in. We've also had Isabella Moner in before. That girl is going to be a star.
Oh, absolutely. She, listen, I fought to get her into this movie. You know, she's fantastic on every level. But for her to be able to kind of show this range of emotion, we've seen her in the action and drama genre, but be able to do comedy and the heart, she's fantastic.
Well, we were talking to Sean about you specifically, and you know, he was just effusive about your capabilities, and it's great to see you. I mean, you're the star of what is, you know, a comedy with a heart, a family comedy, but also has a lot of emotion and heart to it, and that you come across, you know, very paternal, and you exude that. It's a nice instant quality, and he was saying he knew you had it from working with you in the Daddy's Home movies, and this was a likely progression. So this didn't feel too unfamiliar to you, did it?
No, like I got four kids. I have a teenager at home, Isabella, and I have Chloe. She, you know, her giving all that attitude and the middle finger and the cursing at the parent. I mean, that's all like, you know, my everyday life. So obviously a lot to draw on from my real life. And, you know, family is the most important thing. And to be able to show, you know, people opening their hearts and their homes and knowing that there's so many foster kids out there who need a family, it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah, it absolutely is a perfect. This is the kind of holiday movie that sort of, you know, there's when families are going to fight over the table and so on and so forth. This is a reaffirmation of what the whole idea of giving thanks is about. So I think it'd be a perfect choice for the holidays.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one thing here. As far as this film goes, did you have any as you're, you know, from where you were coming from, and obviously your schedule is so intense, how were you able to wedge this in between? Because I think Mild 22 just came out, seems like just a little while ago. Are you basically just rolling from one film right into the other without any breaks?
You know what? The thing that I was thinking about that I actually gave myself a little bit of a pat on the back for was that I was a week and a half between movies, and the roles are so vastly different. Shooting Mild 22, just being so angry, on edge, this guy who just like never shuts off. And to being this kind of like emotionally available dad, vulnerable guy. But you know what? It was nice to be able to make that shift and that change, because, you know, after getting shot at every day, to be able to just sit in the room and laugh with people and hug and talk, it's always a welcome change.
What's tougher, to get shot at or be a parent?
Being a parent is
getting shot at.
The verbal bullets are just as dangerous as the
pain. I can imagine.
Hey, Mark, so the film touches on clearly about the foster program and adopting through that. What is the reaction from that community been like? Because they've got to really love this.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, Sean made a point to include as many people as possible in the making of the movie, the consultants, people, kids who were in the foster system, parents, counselors, things of that nature. But then he went across the country, which is why he ended up in Philadelphia, showing it to people in and around the foster world and adoption world. And people were overwhelmed and appreciative. You know, his whole idea wasn't necessarily to really get people to open up to the idea of adoption, but just to kind of change the narrative of how people look at children in foster care, which can kind of sometimes have a negative aspect to it. But I think, you know, it will get people to want to open their hearts and their homes if they're in a position to, and they should, because, you know, there are a lot of kids out there in desperate need of a family.
Yeah. And you know what? And I noticed that in the writing of the film, because when they're kind of mulling over whether or not to do this, they had questions, and they voiced these questions that I think a lot of people have in their minds, and they feel like they're terrible people by
for even asking
certain questions about fostering and adopting. And so I think he was really just trying to sort of open up a dialogue and letting people know that you're not an evil person by having questions about the process.
Yeah, and it's just brutally honest, and that's why everybody can relate. And anybody, whether you have your own biological kids or foster kids, I mean, people can relate. It's hard. Every day is something new and different and can be challenging as well as rewarding. So, like, the scene where we're, like, we're just over it. We're like, you know, we got to give these kids back. And then they're like, well, maybe people feel bad for us if we tell them that, you know, some relatives came forward and the courts took them. There's nothing we could do, you know. Yeah. But people can relate. I mean, my wife goes from, like, I can't take these kids, get them out of here, get rid of them, to, like, the next day wanting another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's nice that everybody can really relate to that. I mean, Rose and I were always kind of walking on eggshells, and Sean was like, no, I think it's fine. And we just trusted his instincts and where that line was and not to cross it, but certainly to be able to push the envelope.
Nice. All right, well, the film is out now, Instant Family, and you said you're working on Wonderland. I know you're producing and starring in that. Is that for 2020 probably down the road, or...?
Yeah, 2019 or 2020.
Okay.
We finished before the end of the year, so we'll kind of figure it out, but we've been having a lot of fun making this movie in the kind of cop detective underworld of Boston, but the new Boston, not necessarily the Irish mob, but the scene is a kind of whole new world and colors to Boston that you hadn't seen, so we're excited about that.
Love it.
Excellent. All right, well, listen, have a great Thanksgiving, Christmas if we don't talk to you before then, but we'll remind people Instant Family is in theaters now. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Hey, congrats again to the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, the clock is ticking down.
You're a good man. Appreciate it. Mark Wahlberg, guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He had to throw that in there. Love for the Eagles. I love it, man. Nice. He is such a good guy to talk to, man. He's just, you know, the dude's an A-lister and could big time you, but he's great. He's a good interview.
It was awesome. I was fighting back a massive burp at one point.
I was like,
okay.
Like an LBJ burp?
My Hager slacks need adjusting burp.
Nice. All right. Well, that was our break from the Entertainment Report. A couple other stories.
We have to get them out. It's your journalistic obligation.
You sent this to me, Steve. I was quite delighted to see this morning. Northern Exposure is the latest 90s hit that's going to be heading back to the small screen.
Oh, that's your John.
They're going to reboot it for CBS. That is my John. It is one of my all-time favorite television shows. It was kind of a cult hit. It ran from Rob Morrow, by the way, who played Joel Fleischman, the doctor, the main character, is returning is playing the same character.
Okay.
And some of the other people will be involved.
Janine Turner?
I don't know who yet. I haven't seen it. Didn't say it in the story, but I would love to see her back. I always had a crush on her.
The show was always, to me, there was Twin Peaks and there was this, and they were similar, quirky characters. But this, in tone to me, is more like that movie Mystery Alaska.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I liked it. It had some smart, funny drama and comedy.
Yeah.
But the characters, Steve, were quirky in the vein of Green Acres.
Right, right.
Not as slapsticky and funny, but right. They were really offbeat. And
their talking pig was more, was smarter.
Yeah, it was a moose.
Yeah.
No, but it was, I loved it about that, the fact that those characters were so offbeat. It had a cult following from 1990 to 1995. Had dozens of awards, and won Emmys for Best Drama in 1992. John Corbett, who was on Sex and the City, co-starred. He was Chris in the Morning, the DJ.
Right, right.
And he is attached to the reboot as a producer. I have a feeling he'll end up on the show.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So these shows are coming fast and furiously. These reboots, you know. And I think Fuller House was the first to really. Get it going, right?
I think so, Steve.
Like a reboot or... All right, so...
Reboot with some of the original cast members.
Okay.
Not rebooting it as
a new
we're
cast.
Starting from the very beginning with the same story and different cast.
Right. It's a continuation of the story.
A continuation, actually. Technically, be more correct. Yeah, you're right. Because, like, MacGyver's a reboot.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's cool, and I'm looking forward to that. The fashion industry is celebrating Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they had a special on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, in partnership with Disney, Chaos Magazine has released a limited edition issue that celebrates Mickey with 6 covers featuring Gigi Hadid, Bella Hadid, Karen Elson, Chanel Williams, Kara Taylor, and Victoria...
Look at the turd
cutter on you. So ready.
Why these models to celebrate Mickey?
I think you're going to see celebrations all over the place.
All right.
They're wearing Mickey Mouse-inspired ensembles. And inside, there's original art from Karl Lagerfeld and Virgil Abloh.
Abloh? I love to dress them out just like the Mickey Mouse. Because they look too funny with the gloves. They make the models that they look like the mouse with the big black tail.
It's a A-B-L-O-H.
Abloh.
This guy, Chris... Diamantopoulos is the current voice of Mickey. We had him on the phone once. His wife, Becky Newton, I'm sorry, was in the studio. He played Moe in Three Stooges. And
we loved her.
And him.
He's also
he's from Silicon Valley. Yeah. He plays a billionaire.
The billionaire, and then dips underneath being a billionaire for a little bit and then comes back up.
He was in the live version of A Christmas Story. He played the father. He's a great actor.
He's been doing Mickey since 2013.
In fact, I think she mentioned that in the interview that he was up or auditioning for it.
Okay.
Remember she left the studio and came back to get her sorority pin?
Yeah, you're right. Well, if you get that gig, you got that gig for life.
Yeah.
Until you die, as long as you can do the voice.
That's as sweet as can be. Who was the guy before? He must have had it all his life.
A guy named Brett Iwin, Steve? I don't know. But then before that, it was people who had been doing it for a long, long time.
Right.
Jimmy McDonald, I know this off the top of my head. Jimmy McDonald did it from 1947 to 1977.
You just know that.
I know that, yeah.
Movies opening this weekend.
Ooh, a new feature.
Yeah, that's right.
I normally do it on a Friday. It's a holiday weekend, so movies are opening, have opened today already.
It's one of the most important movie extended weekends of the year, and as a journalist, you've got to do that.
Wait, wrong
That's
thing.
Great. That's okay.
Nah, this one.
All right, here we go. This is for the movies opening over the holiday weekend. Opening this weekend, films include Robin Hood.
Which is getting terrible reviews.
Is it getting like negative?
It's got like 14%.
Negative 14%.
Rotten Tomatoes, Nick. Right. I think it's 14%.
You know what? I'm curious about that because yesterday I watched again a movie that I have come around on and kind of like is the most recent King Arthur version. Who's
in
really?
The guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, and Jude
and
Law's
Pacific Rim,
I like it.
Well, it's done. I liked it. Well, he's also.
And it got beat up. I liked it. You know,
I thought it was decent.
Yeah.
It's way over the top, but it's still decent.
The story's been told. Tell it a different way now. You know, I think it's cool.
But when I saw the trailer for this, I'm like, this is not necessary. I mean,
what for Robin Hood?
Listen, Kevin Costner got it done. You know,
That was pretty bad too.
No, it was not. It was a masterpiece.
All right, Taron Egerton, Jamie Foxx, Eve Hewson, Jamie Dornan, F. Murray Abraham, and Ben Mendelsohn are in it. It is a new version of the classic tale of Robin Hood, a crusader who returns home and bands together with a group of men to bring down the corrupt English king and his minions.
I want to see how fast they have minions. It's awesome with the little glasses and the whole thing.
The little yellow guys.
I want to see how fast the fastest archer can pull arrows out of his quiver and currently.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're carrying it to.
Oh, well, if you look at. Yeah. Look at Lord of the Rings.
Come on, man.
But he's an elf.
So that's scientific. Actual human being. Well, I've seen, because I believe it was like the Mongols who really revolutionized that. Because I've watched like the History Channel and they,
you know, I was watching History Channel. They had a special about the Mongols.
On horseback.
Turns out they were really good with arrows.
On horseback and stuff, they were like, but not that fast, you know, make it somewhat believable.
The movie's PG-13, it's an hour and 56 minutes long. Also this week in Ralph Breaks the Internet, John C. Reilly, Taraji P. Henson, Sarah Silverman, Alan Tudyk, Jane Lynch, and Jack McBrayer are the voices.
Great reviews.
Ralph and Vanellope find themselves transferred into the internet as they search for a spare part for a game. It's PG, and it is an hour and 52 minutes. Casey said it was wonderful.
Go see it. It's great.
And then Creed 2 is opening this week, and another big one. Sylvester Stallone, Michael B. Jordan, Tessa Thompson, Felicia Rashad, Wood Harris, Dolph Lundgren, Russell Hornsby, and Florian Montano are going to be in this. And Adonis Creed faces a challenge of his life when he agrees to fight Victor Drago, the son of Ivan, who caused his father Apollo's death.
PG-13, 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Good reviews. I think it's like 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it says, it's, you know, stories are coming to terms with your father and, yeah, and other issues. Done.
Unfortunately,
only that way.
Unfortunately, it will be eclipsed by Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yes, no, it will.
Certain
yeah, yeah.
of it, but I really have.
Well, we were going to call this Creed Breaks the Internet.
I really.
That it'd be like fighting your cursor or something, you know, like on a laptop.
I have high hopes.
Like
for the film.
Ask Jeeves.
Like Ask Jeeves?
Yeah, I go on the internet.
You do, apparently.
Yeah. I got my Netscape browser.
Okay. Let's do.
My AOL account.
Let's do the clips now. Here we go. The Little Drummer Girl is a new fictional spy miniseries based in the United Kingdom. And here, Alexander Skarsgård talks about the concept of the miniseries and how it works well with the intranet script.
Only Courage Riding knows how intricate it is and how layered it is. And to squeeze that into an hour and a half or 2 hours would have been, it's almost an impossible task. So to have 6 hours to spend with these characters is almost essential to me. And because you don't have to rush it. You don't have to explain everything in the first 30 pages. And you can really take your time. And I think it's perfect for a limited series.
I don't give a f-.
I think this was made originally as a movie with Diane Keaton years ago.
A new episode of The Little Drummer Girl airs tonight, 9 o'clock. That's on AMC. Next lap. Robin Hood. We're just talking about that.
We love it.
Is the action-packed, romance-filled movie telling the story of the war crusader, Robin of Locksley. Here, Eve Hewson explains what the new movie has in store for the viewers of all ages.
It's a love story. It's an action film. It's a heist movie. It's a war film. I mean, we have something for everybody in this film. And our hope was to give everything that Robin Hood fans were longing for and also attract a new generation.
Shut the f*** up!
Robin Hood is now playing in theaters, and there you go.
Boom.
Entertainment Report.
Did it.
Complete with Mark Wahlberg.
Booyah.
In the middle
we
of it.
We had a guest.
Yep. All
he
good.
Said, please, whatever I do, let me be a part of your entertainment break.
Hey, I want to remind you, we have a secret text word today, and we have 4 movie tickets from Fandango to give away. So text the word secret to 39333. Bounce a word back to you later on.
Other stations give you 3.
Call yeah, we no, give you 4.
We give you 4. Hey, that's at least $40 of movie tickets. Yeah. That's
well, it's
good
more
price.
Than that, probably. Right. Yeah. So anyhow, text word secret to 39333. You know how this works. Thrills, chills, fun, adventure are gifts worth giving this holiday season. Give the gift of movies. Head to Fandango for Fandango gift cards. Now we'll grab a random texter. So why not text the word secret to 39333? We're going to talk to Kevin Smith this morning. We are going to give you some details about the Camp Out for Hunger. We have a not your average listener of the program. Dunkin' Donuts is stopping by.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get the information on that and when we return it. And I think, Case, we should come right back.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know. What?
I got to poop.
We'll do it in that bucket.
All right. We'll either come right back or we'll play a short song. But when we get back, holiday activity.
Oh, my God.
Get the list from Kathy. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you, Kathy. Programming note about the Camp Out for Hunger. Monday, unfortunately, the open skate on Flyers Ice is not going to happen. They canceled on us. So
it's a massive disappointment.
It is. So keep that in mind. If you were going to bring your skates down, that's not going to be happening. But what is going to be happening is our calendar girls are stopping by after the show
yeah.
around 6 p.m. And we have comedy night, David Tell, hosted by Rich Voss, Louis Katz, and another mystery comedian who's going to be announced that day.
A formidable closer. You know, when I told yes. Bill yesterday about the cancellation of the skate, he actually goes, damn it, I took my skates out in the whole thing.
I know. A lot of people did. Yeah. We're sorry about that. But listen, we got a lot of stuff going on next week. And Monday's just scratching the surface. And I want to get a little plug. Marissa sent me this. LaSalle College High School had posted a tweet. They've been raising... all set for this. You should see the operation they have in these pictures. But they have a total at this point ready to go. 20. These are cans. 20,452 cans.
That is awesome.
Huge. Kudos to you guys, man. We're excited to have you come down. And they're kind of, I guess their motto for this, their theme was every can counts. And they used that to get people to donate. They made these big signs that said every can counts. And
I love it.
They pushed that themselves, and they got everybody on board. So you guys rock, LaSalle College High School. Thank you. We're looking forward to seeing you at the camp out.
And, you know, on piggybacking on that, I just want to give a shout-out and a thank you to Marple Newtown High School in Delco and in Broomall, because they're doing, like, a bag-o tournament right as we speak. It's going on right now.
Really?
Yeah. So my friend Chris Gicking is the head football coach there, and so he's the one who is, you know, overseeing all this sort of stuff. You know, they started to get involved a couple of years ago, and they're really trying to skip it up. So they're doing this right now. It's funny, though, because he was asking me to stop by. I'm like, you know I'm working.
Yeah, I'm on the air right now.
Yep.
No, but it's very cool that they're doing it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, cool. You know, a couple of months ago, we had a little feature called
Fall Activities.
We are now ready. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Listen, I'm ready.
So as the year advances, we go through different activities clusters.
Yes.
And Kathy is the overseer of all these clusters.
She is.
I think this is my favorite activities list of the year.
It is?
Yeah, because I'm such a fan of these particular holidays.
And you know, I usually let the fall activities live until...
they die a miserable death?
No. Right after Thanksgiving. So like the Friday after Thanksgiving, yeah. Black Friday, usually I'll pull out the Christmas decorations and all that kind of stuff. But it actually started a little bit early just because it happened to fall on a certain date.
Let's suck it all up.
Now we are ready for holiday activities, gang.
Searching for something to do, but what it is, I just don't know. Since the fall has passed now, Kathy, show me how to have fun out in the snow, with snow.
Man, I'm dreaming some holiday activities. Having something for the Jewish listeners might be nice.
Oh, whatever you do, you can't lose. Just don't slip on the ice. So let's all take Kathy's advice.
Holiday activities. Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Kyle McCarty had put that together. He's a guy who did fall activities as
That's
well.
So, Kyle,
what a
so
voice.
Good.
So he does all the backing vocals, everything. He recorded that himself. He's a great singer, and he gave us...
I would buy that.
The holiday activities jingle. And also he gave us this.
Holiday activities.
So now we have holiday activities as well. So Kathy, where do we begin?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, fall was pretty successful for me, I have to say. And I sort of went into the holiday activities with the same mindset. Last year, we kind of had a whole list of different things to do throughout the area. This year, I narrowed in on my top 10, and all of which I will be taking part
going in. And we saw you chronicled at these various sites the last time around.
Right.
Now, are these things that would be able to be accessed over this long weekend?
Yeah, so actually we kind of did a preview of the list, and we posted it last weekend because one of the things that was on the list actually happened last weekend. Something happened last night, and then, yes, there are more things that are happening this weekend.
All
so
right.
That's why we kind of wanted to have a little preview of it, but we're talking about it today, and everything is ready to go.
We'll keep an eye on the clock. I don't know if we can fit in all 10.
We're fitting 10 in. Oh, ready? Okay, let's go.
The new lipstick has made you quite confident.
All right, so let's get started. We're going to start off with, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but they started this last year, and they're back again. But it's a BYOB Holiday Light Trolley Tour through Philadelphia. So we all love those elaborate displays along, you know, 13th Street and where, you know, throughout the city. It's actually a trolley that picks you up. You can BYOB. They serve pizza on the trolley, and
what?
They take you to all of the different locations.
That's
it started
awesome.
Last year was the first time that they did it.
I never heard of this!
Great idea.
It's awesome!
Yeah, so this is the second year, and it's a company called Founding Footsteps, and they were actually sold
sold out like weeks ago. So they've added a few dates. I'm not sure if they're still available, but you might, if this is something you want to do, hop online now and pick up and grab those dates that
so,
are available.
So they take you all around to the attractions throughout the city, and there's pizza. Pizza!
Pizza they offer, and you can bring beer, you can bring wine, whatever you want. You can sip on
what
it.
What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
It's BYOB, but it's kid-friendly, too,
yes,
obviously.
The kids can bring their own liquor as well.
Yeah. So the next on the list is...
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
We're professionals here, Kathy.
Well, you got me nervous that we weren't going to get through 10 of them.
No, we'll do all 10 and we'll add on another 10.
Okay, so the holiday tree exhibit at the Bucks County Visitor Center. It doesn't sound... as good
as it sounds riveting.
Well, it doesn't sound as good as it actually is. There's 18 trees that are beautifully decorated, but they're decorated by a woman named Colleen Christian Burke, and she actually headed the White House decorations under President Bush and under President Obama.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So she knows how to do it over the top then.
She knows how to do it. It is opened. They actually had to cancel their opening of the whole event because it happened when it snowed last week.
Right.
But it is open now. The Bucks County Visitor Center open 7 days a week.
So how many trees?
It's 18. She decorated 18 trees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of tree lightings are going to take place this weekend.
Right.
Marissa was telling me about one in the city. Actually, it's taking place tonight in my community. Skip back there doing a tree lighting. And I know you're going to touch on something there in a little bit, but or maybe not. But that's this weekend, so a lot of those are coming up.
Shut up.
What is this?
In Father Christmas.
Oh, is that Pierre?
I think that was Pierre. All right, next activity?
Yes.
Okay.
So everybody likes to do a Santa train ride, some sort of Santa Express, something. And
Polar Express?
Yeah, there's a number of them throughout the area. I've done the one out in New Hope. This year is going to be a first. I'm going to try the Westchester Railroad. And they have, they actually have the Santa Express, which is a 90-minute train ride, which is great for kids. Kids get to see Santa twice on that ride. But they also do something that's pretty cool. They do the Christmas tree train ride, and it takes, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. There's specific dates. I have them on the blog, and also you can go to their website. Obviously, and you can purchase tickets there, but they'll take you out to cut your own tree. So you get on the train, they take you to Wiggins
That's
Tree Farm.
Awesome.
You cut your tree, they wrap it up for you, they put it on the train
and,
for you.
And it comes back on the train?
It comes back on
you
the train.
You take a train out to cut a tree, and then you come back with the tree on the train?
Yeah.
Out of here. I didn't think.
And Santa's there?
Put it on the tree, on the train.
Yeah.
That's
they put the tree on the train.
You've been on that train.
I know, yeah, it goes through Glenn Mills.
Yeah so I'm just wondering where that, because we did it for my son's birthday years ago. And
why am I the last to know?
I don't know. Well, you didn't have any kids. That's why
it's true. I'm kind of a hermit.
I didn't know that it passed through a tree farm. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do the Santa Express one, but you can, like I said, there are only specific dates. There are three dates, two of which are left for this Christmas tree train. So if you're interested in that, grab the tickets.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That probably costs money. If you want to save a couple of bucks, drive down to the Pine Barrens, grab a saw, have your kids go out, right. And just cut a tree down.
That's the McElwain tree.
347 somewhere.
Dad sits in the car revving the engine. Come on! Come on! The state police are coming!
The Tom McElwain list of free activities.
By the way, Kathy got this text. Says, pretty sure my wife wants to divorce me and marry Kathy. She effing loves this.
Yes, I'm into it.
Thank
Don't
you,
call
Kathy.
Me.
All right, next one.
Holiday activities. So this is something that we did in the fall season, and we're moving over. We're doing it into the holiday season because we loved it so much. Preston, yes, it is out your way. It's the holiday workshops at the Floral and Hardy of Skip Back.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So I can't even explain to you how much I love this. So if you love crafts and making things yourself, do
it
yourself.
I do love crafts.
Yeah, this
they
is perfect.
They don't do succulent.
I usually go to Abbott and Compostello. Mm.
Yeah, so Preston, we did the pumpkin succulent class during the fall season. Holiday season, they have a number of classes, all of which I'm taking.
Yeah.
So I did the first one last night, and it was wreath making. And it's a real wreath, and you add your own decorations. You can pick the different colors. You can pick whatever you want. And so the pictures are already up on Instagram.
They're beautiful.
My wife loves this stuff, loves these kind of crafts. And they always have them. Here?
Yeah, but you know what? Again, another thing that they sell out, and they do have a waiting list, so if people can't come, they will call, you know, they'll go down the waiting list and they'll fill in their spots, but again, if this is something that you want to do, you should go and sign up now because it does sell out. And then another workshop, Terrain opened in Glen Mills this year.
Love Terrain.
They do some workshops as well.
They opened in Devon as well.
Yes.
New Terrain, yeah. Kathy, this one that you did last night, how long did it take?
It took about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Who did you pay to do it?
What? No, I did it myself. I love doing this stuff myself. Come on, please. All right. Okay, so next up on the list.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Holiday activities.
Also something new for me and new for the region. This is brand new at the Elmwood Park Zoo. They're doing wild lights. They have actually set up tons and tons of lights throughout
the animals?
Throughout the entire zoo. So, you know, we've been to different places.
Yeah, like I love it.
Hershey Park does it and, you know, a lot of places around the area, Sesame. But this is first for the Elmwood Park Zoo, and they've hired a company to come in. They said it's millions of lights illuminate the 16 acres of the zoo grounds. And then, of course, they have the reindeer there.
When
it started last week.
Okay. And then they come on, obviously, at dusk.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. It starts at 5 o'clock, and they're open Thursdays through Sundays. And then as it gets closer to Christmas, like mid-December, they're open every day.
The only time I've ever done anything like this was at Busch Gardens a couple of years ago, and it was awesome. I don't know if this is going to be like that, where no other lights are on in the park, only the Christmas lights.
Do you know if that's the case?
I
know that all the cages are opened up.
Oh, for that.
What they call a free roam.
Probably, yeah. Case.
Yes,
they,
Casey.
Yeah,
that is the case.
Yeah.
So apparently I didn't get to go to the opening because we were, where the heck were we? Oh, we were at the calendar release party. That's right. Where we were. But apparently the opening of it was great, and people are very impressed by it. So I'm excited to stop by that one as well.
That's a holiday activity. These are all holiday activities I would do, except for the arts and crafts thing.
I think you would even like that, though. Right. Okay, Press, next
all
up.
Right. Holiday activities.
So this is sort of, it's kind of like an activity / we're going to go holiday shopping. It's a place called Feeney's. We're back in Bucks County.
And Shirley Feeney owns that, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
And everybody from Bucks County knows Feeney's, even people outside of Bucks County. If you need any type of holiday decoration, it doesn't matter what it is. It does not matter. They have it.
Feeney's.
It is. I mean, wall to wall. It looks like Santa threw up.
Like holiday. Like a Pierre Studio.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Yes, it's amazing. Actually, when I was there, I went and visited, took a couple pictures there, and they actually told me that Pierre was in there. Pierre has stopped in there.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so they have. I mean, anything like old favorites, you know, like antiques or things that you used to have as a kid, they'll have it to, you know, brand new decorations, and they have artificial trees. They have real trees. They have animals out there for a manger. So, and the animals are there now. So if you stop by, Santa's there on the weekends as well. A great place to do some holiday shopping for home decor.
Okay, here we go. Holiday activities.
what number are we on now?
We're on number 7.
We're buzzing along.
We're doing great. You can even take your time.
Okay, so next we have choosing a Christmas tree, right? I decided this year that instead of just going out and either, whether you get the pre-cut or you cut your own.
But or you go into a park and cut your own.
Right, if you go to the Pine Barrens like Nick's family, you can just cut your own. No, but sort of make it, you can kind of combine two activities in one. You can get your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But make it more of like a special experience for the kids and for the family. So go to one of these. This is just my suggestion. This is what we're going to do. Go to one of the farms that offer like a full day's activity. You can spend as much time as you want there.
Any farms come to mind?
Well, okay, so I chose one in each county and also in New Jersey. But, of course, I can't leave out Shady Brook. I know we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
But they have one of the most elaborate light displays in the area.
It's cool.
People travel from all over to see this. So
yeah.
I could not leave them out. And, of course, they have Christmas trees. So you can pick up your Christmas tree there. You can see Santa. They have delicious holiday treats. You can do s'mores. And then you can do the holiday show. I mean, the light show if you go in the evening.
I get weak in the knees every time I see Santa.
So a new one, which I just learned about this year, which I'm going to try to make it out to this farm this year, but it's Johnson's Corner Farm in Medford, New Jersey. And they have a full list of things that you can do, including a hayride that takes you around a lake where they also have a light show. You can do like gingerbread and cookie. You can buy these cookie decorating kits and you can do that by the fire. They roast s'mores as well. And then back to Bucks County. Actually, I had to do two in Bucks County.
Of course. Well, it's your
big county. That's where you come from.
Carousel Village Christmas Tree Farm in Wrightstown, Pennsylvania. Same thing. They have a train that kind of runs through their tree farm. They have hay rides that take you
on
out.
On purpose?
Yes, that you can. Yes, the kids can ride
it. It's a derailing train.
But they have hay rides that take you out to the field. You can cut your own tree down. This place has some of the most friendly and holiday spirited workers that I've ever met.
All right.
So if you really want to go and kind of just enjoy yourself and know that you're not going to have, there's no fuss, there's no, you know, stress over the holidays, go to Carousel Village because they'll take care of you there.
Yes, because that is, you want people to be into the spirit.
Yes. And then another one, I feel like you can't.
Are these other activities?
No,
yes.
No.
So no?
I'm just giving suggestions on farms that you can go to cut your tree down.
These are farm activities.
Do the whole experience.
Everybody.
Farm activities.
Okay.
So also, I feel like if you go to Delaware County, you can't not go to Lynn Villa Orchards. I know everyone knows about it, but you know, they have that huge shop that turns into a holiday shop. You can cut your own tree. They have pre-cut trees.
And it's also, by the way, Randy Bates over at Arasafa has a light show as well that you go through on a sled.
Yeah, so they actually have a really cool hayride that goes through their light display at Arasafa.
With Coco!
Corkum Farm is a smaller farm in Montgomery County. Last year, they had smaller trees just because of the way things were growing and our weather. But they're saying this year is when they're going to get the big trees. So if you want to go cut your tree down, they'll have larger Christmas trees for you to cut.
Are they bigger than the trees in the Pine Barrens?
They also have pre-cut trees there as well.
Okay. Where's Corkum?
Corkum is in Collegeville.
All right.
They have wild animals just kind of wandering around the property.
Yeah. Really?
Turkeys and stuff. Yeah, I've been to Corkum. It's great.
All right.
Yeah, rabid raccoons.
No.
All sorts of rabid animals.
No.
No, but you know what, Nick? Actually, on the post, there's a picture of the turkey who, his name is Thomas.
Yeah.
And he's a very loud turkey, but you'll definitely see him if you go to Corkum.
Kathy Romano is just here.
And then Jaeger's Farm in Chester County. And you can, again, it's just a whole, they have a market there where you can get hot cider, hot chocolate, cookies, coffee, whatever it is. They actually have a wine and cheese event.
Freaking love this stuff.
Yeah, I know. It already happened. So we kind of missed out on that. Well, that's why we posted this for the preview. But they do some pretty cool things at this farm as well.
That's awesome.
Okay, so next up.
At number 8.
Number 8. A lot of these things that I'm doing are new for me this year, but there are a couple traditions that we just can't break because we love it so much. One being the Morris Arboretum Garden Railway. That is open when the Arboretum is open. However, if you go to the night display, that's when it's the best. I mean, because they turn on all the lights for the trains, and it's so beautiful.
I've been there. And I have not seen it at night, but I've seen it during the day running. It's so cool. It's an elaborate train set. And runs over. It seems like it's huge.
It goes like there's trains that go above you. They're around you. They're below you. They have
Hot air balloons.
Yeah.
Tiny hot air balloons.
This list is on WMMR.com, PrestonSteve.com as well for those who are not able to write all this down along the way.
Yeah. So, and this, they actually used to call it Friday Night Lights, but it was so popular that they've now moved it to Saturday and changed the name. So it's just called the Holiday Garden Railway Nights. But I would suggest going to this at night. Next up, Preston.
All right.
So this was a tradition that I broke last year and was so angry for the entire year that I didn't do it. But
you were just living in misery.
I was living in misery. Everybody likes to get the holiday photo of your kids or your family or whatever it is. And you know, the Santa photos are a must. You have to do that.
Yeah.
But some people will pay a professional photographer and they'll get their family photo for their Christmas card or whatever. So this is actually a do-it-yourself photo session. It's a woman in Willow Grove and she sets up a whole holiday scene for you. You walk in with your kids ready to go, stick them. She has all kinds of props. She has a sled. She has a chimney. She has Santa suit. She's got Santa boots. She's got snow. Whatever it is, she has it. You put your kids in front of there. She sets up her camera. You take the pictures with her camera of your kids, and it's like $60.
So what, does she take your index finger and push it on the button?
No, but like she just has it all set up. She has professional lights, everything, but you're not paying the $350 to $400 for the professional photo shoot. You pay $60. She hands you the card with all of your photos on it, and you leave with the photos. You go home, you make your kids Christmas cards or whatever it is, and you send them out.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And I know... I'm not sure if this is something you guys would be into, but I'm telling you, it's so cool. It's really cool.
All right. And then you ready?
Last.
At number 10.
So last up is actually something new. It's Hershey Lodge's New Year's Eve celebration. Now, everybody knows about the Christmas celebration. You go, you see the lights through the park. But the Hershey's Lodge actually does this huge carnival for New Year's Eve. And it's inside.
Year's Eve or Christmas Eve?
New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
that's where we would stay,
where we stay when we go to do the live broadcast. The Lodge, you have the Hershey Hotel, and you have the Lodge, which has
really cool. It's more themed. It's a better place if you have kids to go than the Hershey Hotel. It's not as swanky, but it's got a great indoor pool facility that's great with slides and all kinds of things. Really, really nice hotel.
Yes, exactly. And they actually redid that whole pool area a few years ago, so it's even better. But yeah, they open up all of their ballrooms, and this isn't well advertised, so I'm not quite sure if they're going to like this or not. But anyway, they open up.
Damn you, generating more business.
They open up the ballroom, and they put a huge carnival inside there. Inside the Hershey Lodge, and they just have all kinds of activities for the kids. Parents don't have to go anywhere. You can have a drink. You can enjoy.
Are you enjoying yourself, kids?
Exactly.
Isn't this great? This is Hershey's like the candy.
Yeah, and your tickets come with, you know, obviously you have to buy, you have to buy a hotel. You don't have to buy the hotel package. You can just go to the event.
Without staying at the hotel.
Right, but if you buy the hotel package, it comes with dinner, it comes with treats, it comes with, you know, rides for the kids.
Wow,
and all
this
that
looks
kind of
great.
Stuff. Yeah, but
this looks cool. We're looking at a little train thing, like a little mini parade going through an area all lit up.
Yeah, also comes with, if you want to make it out to, if you have time, you want to go to Hershey Park, you can. They also have their lights, and that'll be set up through the new year as well. They have the sweet lights that you drive through as well. So this is something new that I'm excited to do the New Year's Eve at the Hershey Lodge. And those are my top 10 holiday
activities. There you go, Kathy's holiday activities.
I got to say, there was not a stinker in that lot.
No, definitely not. I actually want to add one, if you don't mind. This is something. Hang on a second here. What just happened? Okay. I'm sorry. The entire board crapped out on us here, so we may be on for a while. So I wanted to add one. It's a tradition that we haven't done for a long time, but if you don't mind driving to a little southern Jersey, a little bit more towards the shore, Storybook Land is so much fun, especially if you have toddlers as kids. But around Christmas time, it's fantastic. All the rides are open. They're made for younger kids, and there are a gazillion lights all over the place. It's a lot of fun. We used to go there regularly when the kids were younger, right? Carter's in here.
You say Carter still begs to go every year, right?
Well, I don't know. You wouldn't mind going, would you, Carter? Back in some time?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, and it's
so. Oh, is this it right here, Preston?
Yeah.
It's
wow,
great. It's really great.
And you know what? This is
it's old school though.
It also it's outside, so make sure if you go to something like this, you do have to dress the kids warm, or maybe look for one of those days where it's going to be a little bit warmer. But you're right. This during the holiday season is a little bit of a drive, but it's worth it.
Yep, most definitely.
Ah, that's awesome.
Wow, Kathy, kudos! Great job on the holiday activities list. I think we got to hear the song one more time before we recap on how you get those. Here we go.
Searching for something to do, but what it is, I just don't know. Since the fall has passed now, Kathy, show me how to have fun out in the snow. With snow.
Man, I'm dreaming of some holiday activities. Having something for the Jewish listeners might be nice.
Kind of missed that one.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, whatever you do, you can't lose. Just don't slip on the ice. So let's all take Kathy's advice.
Holiday activities. Ooh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kyle, for the jingle. It's fantastic.
You know what? I'm going to call an audible here.
Yeah?
You want to invite Kyle to join the River Valley Vocal Band?
Oh,
he's
I don't
too good.
Know.
He's too
I
good.
I think we can help him.
He's too good. We don't want to ruin that talent. Yeah. And I just want to say that I will continue to post on social media, Facebook and Instagram, Twitter as well. So make sure you follow me. And then if you do any of my list of 10 or any other holiday activities, make sure you tag me in it, and you can hashtag Kathy's holiday activities as well, because I want to see all of the stuff that you guys are doing as well.
It's crazy how many people ask me about these freaking lists now, Kathy, because a lot of people taking your advice and have gone to these and have found that they're loving it. So,
Steve, when I after
it
the,
has momentum now.
After the fall list went out, at each activity that I went to, I ran into people who went because they saw the list and they to try something new. Yeah,
that one that you mentioned that was the train around the city. I had not heard about that.
The trolley. Yeah,
the trolley. Yeah, that sounds very cool.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, all of it's available at PrestonandSteve.com. Kathy's holiday activities. Make sure you take a look when you get a chance. We got to take a break. I want to give something to you, a little gift from us. Dunkin' Donuts. I have a $50 gift card. I'll take callers 10 and 11, and I will give you a $50 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up when we come back. We're going to do the Bizarre File, and we get some info about Dunkin' as well. Kevin Smith's on the program today. Not Your Average Listener on the show. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Happy Thanksgiving from 93.3 WMMR. We all love this holiday tradition filled with family, friends, food, and maybe a beverage or two. During Thursday morning's preparations, tune in to Pierre Robert live on MMR for his annual Welcome Home Thanksgiving show, including all the fix-ins and his traditional playing of Alice's Restaurant. This year, MMR has a special treat. Pierre has the very first pair of free tickets to see the Rolling Stones. You'll be guaranteed to be in the house for 2019's biggest rock and roll concert, June 4th at The Link. Tickets on sale Friday, November 30th at Ticketmaster.com. WMMR.com has all the details. Happy Thanksgiving from 93.3 WMMR.
A&T Subaru. We're closer than you think. Just off Route 309 in Sellersville. 10,000 miles per year plus tax, title, and tags. Must qualify. Offer ends November 30th. Now through January 2nd, Subaru will donate $250 to purchaser or lessee selected national and hometown charities. See retailer or Subaru.com/share for details.
Over five decades of family-run tradition is just one reason why Reen's Deli and Catering in the Northeast is a Deeds and Watson Real Philly Deli. More at WMMR.com, keyword deli.
Hey, it's still Casey Boy here, and I want to tell you guys about Bank of America. We all struggle with major financial questions. Questions like, are we putting enough away in our 401k? Or do we have the funds to renovate our kitchen? These are really hard questions, and they require serious answers. So whether you have questions about saving, spending, or anything in between, Bank of America's experienced financial specialists are here for you. They're proudly serving Philadelphia and the surrounding areas, and you can schedule an appointment today at bankofamerica.com/conversation.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, it is 7:57 on this Wednesday morning with Preston and Steve Show. A lot going on today. We're going to talk to Kevin Smith later this morning. Not Your Average Listener on the program as well. Going live on Fox Good Day in a moment, but a heads up for the Camp Out for Hunger. Just want to let you know, scheduling issue, the Flyer Skate on Ice, the open skate we were going to do has been canceled. So if you are planning on doing that, being there, just keep in mind that's not going to happen. We still want you to come down, obviously, because we had a lot of great things that are taking place. But that has been canceled per the flyer, so it's not going to happen. But we are going to have comedy night on Monday night. We are going to have the Calendar Girls there Monday evening. Jackson's Jeep Club. Jackson is broadcasting live on Monday. So there's a lot going on Monday alone. That's just the beginning of it. Dave Attell is our headliner for comedy night, along with Rich Voss and Louis Katz and another.
It's a huge lineup.
Guest, so it's a good one. So we are looking forward. Oh, are we on?
To Alex's finger breaking. That was very sweet.
What was this now?
We didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Alex.
Yes,
Alex.
Steve, thanks for tweeting.
Listen, so you're rocking your pinky splint, but you've upgraded since then. I saw the new Darth Vader version, right?
Yeah, so you agree? It looks like Darth Vader?
Yeah, I completely agree. I guess the question is, like on a pinky toe, they don't splint it up, but I guess they do on a finger, right? On the pinky? Is that a standard? Yeah.
I guess. Some people had casts, so I feel fortunate that they just gave me a Darth Vader.
It's very cool.
Turn their back on the toe, but we're all about the finger.
How did you break it?
Put up your hands, guys.
What's that?
I threw an Eagles helmet. I was trying to show solidarity with Carson Wentz and Malcolm Jenkins after that blowout, and I threw the Eagles helmet. There's video on my Instagram.
Yes, and you held on a second too long, and the helmet caught your pinky, correct?
Yeah, I'm not experienced in throwing helmets, guys.
No, we got that.
Wait, you wanted us to hold our hands up, Mike? What?
Yes, yeah. Let's see it.
Let's see here. Preston, pretty long.
How long? Put your palm facing toward the camera.
We need comparison.
Yeah, so
Steve.
Is your pinky finger longer than the line that marks the top digit of your ring finger? I know this is complicated.
It's just short of it. It's almost that long.
What do we glean from this?
The shorter, the more shy you are.
And reserved. So, yeah. Preston, are you shy and reserved?
Terribly. Terribly. I don't even want to talk about
it. He's a wallflower.
No.
Now, Steve's is longer, right?
Yes.
So you are charming and sociable.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. Or I just have bizarrely long fingers.
Mine is like just above it, I believe.
That means you're cold, callous, and calculating.
Or are you the same length? Because if you're the same length, then you're driven and power hungry.
I'll go with that. I'm the same length.
Or you've had a lawnmower accident.
Driven and power hungry. Oh, yeah, God. There you go.
You know, do these things ever hold true, though? Even like lifelines and things of that nature?
Lifelines.
Yeah. Do you guys put any faith in that?
Well, you guys are still alive, so I guess the lifeline
works.
That's
true. I should have been dead 30 years ago before my line. And maybe I am.
Nah, I don't put any stock in that stuff. I mean, it might match up occasionally, but you know,
you will make it match.
Yeah.
Somehow that's just like your astrological forecast. You'll make it match.
There was always one about the your not your big toe, but the next toe over being longer.
Really?
And
there is a thing though, Preston. They say that if you have fingers on your toe, that you live near some sort of reactor.
Okay,
so, yeah, that.
That might be the case.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Not really sure.
What's the update on the weddings, guys?
Oh.
For Camp Out for Hunger.
Preston?
Yeah, so we've got over 70 couples that are going to get married next Wednesday, live at the Camp Out for Hunger. We're calling it Hungry for Love. We tied all these things together. All we ask is that people make a donation. And by the way, these are not renewing vows.
No.
These are people that are non-married and will be legally married when we are done with this next Wednesday at Xfinity Live.
Will you do it all at once, or is it not
all at once? All at once, right there in the tent. They will be legally married with the legal documentation.
Mm-hmm.
We will have the first dance, and one lucky couple will get to consummate in our RV.
Yep.
This is true.
And we're giving away a honeymoon trip. We have wedding bands from Steven Singer Jewelers.
Okay.
We have Kriebel's Bakery is giving away some anniversary cakes, and they're
fancy.
Making cakes.
The whole
for the event.
And
yeah.
Given us the privilege of broadcasting that live on television, right?
This next to the royal wedding, this will be the most audacious wedding to ever take place in a parking lot.
It's a week from today, guys. Yeah. 1 week from today.
I can't wait.
Yeah, people get up early.
When you say kiss the bride, I mean, it's going to be like a big makeout session.
Oh, it'll be sloppy and actually, we'll have to squeegee that room out once it's done. So,
oh my God,
very loud. I do. Have a great day tomorrow, guys.
Yeah,
happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
We'll see you later.
You.
All right, let's get right to the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. A St. Petersburg, Florida police officer was investigating a break-in at the Chataway restaurant, reviewing surveillance video that shows a burglar eating a plate of chicken wings and drinking beer inside the kitchen.
This is the burglar broke in and had a meal.
Yeah, the officer then stumbled across another incident from the night before. Video of that shows a different man riding his bike up to the restaurant, pedaling around the parking lot for 10 minutes, then slipping in through the back gate. He opens a door to a shed after wandering around for a bit and removes a set of bongos. The man then gains access to a restaurant bathroom and exits. Completely naked. He sits at one of the restaurant's picnic tables and digs into a bowl of instant ramen noodles, which he brought with him. The video also shows him playing the bongos while still naked.
This is the second story in 2 days of somebody getting naked at a restaurant.
Yeah, the burglar from the first video, who ate chicken wings and had a beer at the restaurant, stole an estimated $500 worth of stuff, including cash tips, a laptop, a tablet, and a grocery bag.
What did Bongo Boy do?
That he filled with beer. Well, police identified the homeless man who played the bongos in his birthday suit. His name's not being released to the public. The restaurant is not pressing charges on the homeless man because he meant no harm and didn't actually steal anything from the restaurant.
How did he know the bongos were in there? He just found them.
He just found them.
All right.
And
why do they have bongos in there?
It'd be a good time to play them, but you got to be naked while you do
it. Florida man,
A mugger in Brazil did not prove to be so tough after all when he tried stealing a cell phone from a woman.
You think you're bad?
Magdiel da Silva, who was 18 years old, was screaming in tears once Sabrina Leitas placed him in an arm bar while they laid on the street on the pavement waiting authorities to arrive.
This is great.
Da Silva could be heard crying into submission, yelling, "No more, no more," while Leitas gave herself a thumbs up at one point to the camera during the viral video. Leitas, who's been practicing jiu-jitsu for 4 years, was standing outside her family home in Brazil and was opening a gate to enter her sister's bedroom when Da Silva and another accomplice suddenly pulled up on a motorcycle and demanded her cell phone.
She had him locked.
Leitas decided to defend herself since 4 cell phones had already been stolen in prior home invasions. Her unidentified cohort managed to escape on the motorcycle, and Da Silva himself tried to make a run for it as well. Leitas' neighbor saw the mugging attempt and then ran the teenage criminal over with his car.
Wow.
The young woman then used one of the most common jiu-jitsu techniques to keep him from escaping the scene, keeping him steady for 20 minutes until the cops arrived.
20 minutes?
When he's thrashing around, she's putting a wrist lock on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's just causing him pain at that point.
Oh, yeah.
She's got him. He's not going anywhere, but she gives him a little bit of a pain with bending the wrist. You might not think of curling as a rowdy sport, but apparently it can be. Organizers had to kick an entire curling team out of the Red Deer Curling Classic in Alberta, Canada on Sunday for being way too drunk.
Curling.
Organizers fielded multiple complaints about the foursome's behavior, resulting in their ejection from the rink and the tournament. The team included Ryan Fry, who was a member of Canada's 2014 Olympic gold medal winning squad. Wade Thurber, facility manager at the Red Deer Curling Center, said of the group, "They were extremely drunk and breaking brooms and swearing.
They were so drunk, Preston, they were using vacuum cleaners."
He said, "Just unacceptable behavior." Also, the team has been banned from further events at the venue. This is a terrible story, okay? Giving you a heads up, but it's just bizarre that this guy was a judge. A disgraced former Ohio judge was arrested Saturday. He stabbed his wife to death at her home 2 years after he served time in prison for a brutal attack on her that was witnessed by their daughters.
Wow.
And required reconstructive surgery.
That is a bad judge.
Yeah, the police said former Judge Lance Mason was taken into custody in connection with the death of his ex-wife, Aisha Frazier. Authorities have responded to a domestic violence call involving Mason after stabbing her. He fled the scene and crashed his car into a police cruiser before being arrested. The 51-year-old had previously pleaded guilty to charge of domestic violence and attempted felonious assault for attacking his then-wife in 2014. Jeez. I'm not even going to give you the details.
No.
They were so brutal. She was so severely injured in the assault, she needed reconstructive surgery on her face. She filed for divorce 2 days after the incident. Mason was sentenced to 2 years in prison, but was only behind bars from September 2015 to June 2016.
I wonder if this is going to prompt
them. Very lenient.
Yeah, to review cases that he might have sat on.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Bench for, yeah.
But he was a psychotic abuser, and he came back and killed his wife. And he's a judge. Just horrible. We need a lighter story to end on, and that's exactly what I'm going to give you. Customers were left red-faced after spotting two polar bears looking very cozy in a shopping center Christmas display. This is in the UK. Stunned shoppers at the usually family-friendly mall on the Isle of Man spotted the Arctic animals in a rather compromising position over the weekend.
They were getting it on?
Yeah. Patrons took to Twitter over the X-rated Christmas display where the bears appeared to be doing it doggy style. One visitor to the Tynwald Mills Shopping Center said, "I was quite amused yet disturbed by their placement of their Christmas polar bear." Another said it looked like they were having sex. No question about it.
Wow.
One shopper said, "It's the best Christmas display I've ever seen.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It blatantly looks like they're doing it doggy style." To make matters worse, another bear is seen slumped in the corner, appeared to be watching the pair while they're getting it on.
That's awesome.
One of the center's Facebook page fans said that they thought that it was harmless and the bears were allowed to play mommy and daddy for a short while.
Do you know when two polar bears hump, an angel gets its wings?
Others called it fab and said it was the best display they've ever seen. However, the shopping center has since apologized for the lewd display, and they've changed the bears' positions. And the lights just went out in the studio.
Yes.
I guess
that means they're back on.
Time to wrap up the Bizarre File. And there you go. That's what I have for you this morning. So we would like to welcome a friend back to the studio. I gave away some Dunkin' Donuts gift cards, and we have the senior manager of integrated marketing for the International Brotherhood of Donuts. Please welcome Jackie Keown.
Yay!
To our studio. Hi, Jackie.
Hello, everyone.
Nice to see you again.
Thanks for having us.
So what do we have the honor of you visiting this morning?
Oh, we have so much to talk about, but I just want to say happy Thanksgiving Eve to everyone.
Likewise.
Tomorrow, please join us on the parkway for the 6ABC Dunkin' Donuts Thanksgiving Day Parade.
You guys are going to be providing really medical assistance with the temperature that it is out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're ready. We have hot chocolate samples. We'll have hot coffee. We have beanie hats for 25,000 people.
Wow.
We'll have munchkins. 20,000 munchkins will be out on the parade route.
I mean, you're already the superstars, but now there's going to be a new level you're going to reach tomorrow because people are going to be running for your setup.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very
cool. We'll have two trucks sampling products all morning. So
with
come
the lattes?
Down, we'll keep you warm.
Are you going to have the new latte sample tomorrow? Is that too much?
We can't really do lattes because our lattes are handcrafted.
Yeah, I guess so.
So we'll be doing hot chocolate and coffee.
That'll get it done. Yep. Yeah. Nice. Very
excellent.
Cool.
And it gets started like 8:30, 9 o'clock,
around
something
8:30,
like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll be down there at 7 setting up, making sure the coffee's hot, the hot chocolate is hot. And we'll be ready to go.
Needs to be. It's going to be the coldest Thanksgiving in over 100 years. And guess who's going to be there? I will be there. My son, who's sitting over in the corner, is performing in the show. So,
well, make sure you stop by and see us.
Oh, we will. We definitely will.
Bring your bathing suit, Preston, because you're going to want to jump and swim around to that.
So no, it's going to be a great day no matter what. At least it's going to be sunny, so we don't have to deal with rain, and that's positive.
And make sure you stop by Dunkin' on your way down to the parade because Dunkin' is donating 10% of all hot coffee and iced coffee sales to help with critical hunger needs.
Oh. Do me a favor. Can you take pictures of people coming in and purchasing iced coffee? I just want to see what somebody looks like who's going to purchase iced coffee on the coldest Thanksgiving in 100 years.
You would be surprised.
Okay.
Our iced coffee fans
still,
are
really?
Fanatics.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that says a lot.
Well, Steve, by the end of it, it'll be a popsicle because it's going to be below freezing.
I know, yeah.
And so it will actually freeze in the cup right there in your hand.
I mean, it's delicious,
and
but yeah.
Maybe just pull it out by the straw and lick it.
Lick it.
Which would be nice. Well, that's cool. Yeah, we're excited about it. I'm going to be there. And actually, it'll be kind of cool that we were there for this extreme cold, and we'll always have that story to tell.
Sure.
Which is pretty neat.
When people ask, hey, how did you lose your fingers?
Yeah, exactly. I was home.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with Dunkin' Donuts, man. I was at the parade. It was awesome. What else? Anything else you need to mention?
Yeah, so starting on Black Friday, we've got our annual Roast Hunger Program. So we're giving customers a great deal, $1.49 large hot coffee when you pay with your Perks card. And then we're donating 50 cents for every coupon redeemed, again, to help critical hunger needs, which we know is a cause near and dear to your hearts as
well.
It
is. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And you're going to be down and you're dropping by the camp out as well, yes.
Absolutely.
I love
we'll be
that.
Down there next Thursday.
Yeah.
We can't wait to be there.
Cool.
Love it. Excellent. Well, always great to see you. Thank you, Jackie.
Continued. Thank you.
And they brought, by the way, they filled up our green room.
As always.
With Preston and Steve donuts like and breakfast sandwiches and bagels and all kinds of goodies.
It's like the ghost of donut past when they show up here with all the, you know, Scrooge walks into the room and it's all filled with donuts and candles and everything. It's amazing.
Yep. So we're very lucky. All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. That's it for Jackie, guys.
Yay!
Keown from Dunkin', and I'll give away a $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card right now. Nice. Jackie, pick a number, caller. Not crazy high.
7.
All
right.
Caller
7.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. You get a $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. A Not Your Average listener is here. We're going to meet them and find out if you like the story or not. We're also going to have Kevin Smith on shortly, too. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Hey, is Monday, is that when we're doing archery tag?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Monday morning archery tag at the Camp Out for Hunger as
also
well.
Known
some
as
special guests will be joining us for that.
Archery dodgeball, and we're using hunting tips on the arrows.
No, we're not.
We're not?
Nope.
Oh, I misread that memo then.
Yeah, and I think they call it archery tag where we're the guys that are setting it up for us. So that is going to be badass. I'm really looking forward to playing that.
It's we talk about the Robin Hood movie opening up this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to try catching one out of midair.
Yes. In our teeth.
Definitely got to do that. So that's Monday alone, and then obviously, Wednesday, we're having the wedding. There's a lot of great things that are coming up. All right. It is time to do a Not Your Average Listener. Oh, my God, we have a jingle for that.
Yes.
Hit it.
I love Preston and Steve.
I love Preston and Steve.
Listen every day.
Listen every day.
I listen to WMMR 93.3. I don't think that there are.
I don't think that there are.
People like me.
Many people like me.
And if you agree with me, text yes to 39333. Primo Hoagies totally promised to pay every one of you cash. 250.
250.
It's not just a hoagie.
It's not just a hoagie.
Just a hoagie.
It's not just a hoagie.
It's a primo.
Yeah. That's
Eat your heart out, Kyle.
Yeah.
Eat your heart.
Yeah, Kyle. Kyle's sweating bullets now. Our next guest is gonna. We're gonna determine whether or not you feel that our next guest is worthy enough of a cash prize. It will be up to you to text in and vote. And we'll tell you when to do that after we are done speaking to him. And he's brought a couple of people along with him. I think this is very, very interesting.
It is.
And we'll find out his story. Please welcome Mr. Warren Ander.
Yay!
To the show. Good morning, Warren.
Good morning.
Nice
ladies
to
and
see
gentlemen.
You, sir. So, it reading up on you. You're from Westchester.
That's correct.
And you've been listening for a long time.
So I started listening. I guess I graduated Interborough in 99, grew up in Glen Olden in the heart of Delco. I went to Williamson Trade School, which is about 500 feet from Y100, from where you guys were in media.
No kidding.
So I've been listening since the turn of the century.
That's awesome. Yeah, we appreciate it.
All right. So is this, I'm going to give away the name of your establishment. Is this your line of work now? This is what you do or just part of what you do?
No, I work full time as a property director for the Roxborough YMCA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
All right. Well,
this is a cottage.
Warren is in charge of something that is called Daddy Daughter Hair Factory. I wish I would have known you a couple of years ago. I guess I still could take a couple of lessons, but I really needed your help a couple of years ago. Will you explain what this is and how you came about the idea for this?
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
So about 4 years ago, you know, our family dynamic changed a lot, and all of a sudden I was responsible for getting Evelyn and Kaiser here off to school in the mornings.
These are your kids who are here with you this morning.
Yes, Evelyn.
How old is Evelyn, by the way?
How old are you, Evelyn?
Nine.
She's 9 years old. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember dropping Evelyn off at kindergarten at our kindergarten center one day, and we were walking in, and I overheard a murmur, something along the effect of, you know, oh, it must be a daddy weekend.
Oh, no.
Because?
She
was dressed like a man.
No.
Her hair was just a mess.
Okay.
It was a mess.
And it was very obvious.
Right.
Okay.
And so, I mean, That was the absolute end of that. There was no more of that going to go on.
Okay.
So I did what I do. I have friends who are cosmetology instructors. The wonderful Barbara McGinnis, who teaches for the Western Center in Montgomery County, she hooked me up with some of these mannequin head dolls.
Mm-hmm.
I came into her shop, and she's like, I said, I need to know everything you can teach me in the next 2 hours about doing my daughter's
hair. So how to make sure your daughter has her hair set up properly to go into school and not be ridiculed by her classmates.
Like quite literally, how do I even start with running a brush through her hair?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How often do I wash my daughter's hair? You know, and then you slowly work up to things like ponytails.
Yes. Now, here's the deal. If your daughter has longer hair,
yeah,
you can literally get a brush stuck in her hair and not get it out. It's very difficult.
Right.
And then, like you said, when you get into ponytails, so my daughter is in cheerleading.
Yeah.
They have to do what's called a high ponytail.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that hard to pull
off? I wouldn't even know where to begin.
You ever tried to do a case?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It is not easy, and I'm like, I'm making
are
a
you
mess
standing
of her hair.
Are you standing behind her when
you
do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Turn around.
Really?
Yes. Stand in front of her and do it, and it's going to work out a lot easier.
All right. Thanks, giving tips.
Yeah, I need them. I don't know if I do anymore because she won't let me do it. She's like,
well, now
she's
at the point, yeah.
Like, I'm literally, she's like, I have to take you to cheerleading. Mom can't go. Come on, let's go. Let's get your hair. And she like looks at me like,
get away from me, old man.
No, she'd be like,
it's okay. I'll have someone that's here do it for me. I kid you not. Yeah. I'm not allowed to do it because I mess up. I thought I did a pretty decent job at it.
Well, yeah. This is a thing, honestly. This is a skill set that I think a lot of dads would certainly love to acquire.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the so the thing is the learning curve, right? There's people, men are intimidated by it.
Right.
Once you get past that, you know, from stop to start, once you get past that initial how do I even start this? It turns into just a lot of fun. I mean, literally spent hours just working on different hairstyles, talking to Evie about what she likes. The vast majority of the time, she wants to leave the house in a ponytail.
Let me ask you, so you're rocking a little bit of a man bun, I guess, in the back?
A little bit of a man bun.
So yeah. Are you a little more adventurous with your own hairstyles?
Yeah, I'm starting to learn how to French braid my own hair.
All right. So how do we progress from that point where you said never again?
Okay, so what I did is, you know, I do what we do. I hit YouTube. Yeah. I start looking out to friends and family, whoever. I looked on the internet and I found the Daddy Daughter Hair Factory, which started in Daytona Beach a couple years prior.
Yeah.
By this guy, Phil and Emma, his daughter. And he slowly grew it. There's currently about 18, 20 of us official instructors for the Daddy Daughter Hair Factory throughout the United States. We even got a guy in the Netherlands. We promote through our organization, find us on Facebook. There's local classes. I contacted them because I was looking for a class to participate in.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a class. Mm-hmm. The next closest guy is in Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know,
really?
And then we're going to Vegas, Florida.
And we're a major city here. We need our own.
I'm like, we need a Philadelphia branch.
Yeah.
So I talked to the guy for about an hour and a half and on the phone, he's like, well, what do you need help doing? I said, actually, I'm trying to figure out how to do an inverted French braid and I just can't get my fingers to work right. And he laughed and he's like, dude, you're way beyond this class. You should think about teaching it.
I don't even know how to do that French braid, by the way.
And fast forward about a month and a half, and we taught our first class.
And so we're looking at videos. Is this you?
This is Phil and his daughter.
Okay.
So they do instructional
videos. This is very intricate.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, these guys are fantastic. They're absolutely incredible.
So I would have to imagine, I don't have kids, but I imagine a dad and his daughter to be able to share this with his daughter would be a wonderful thing.
So I was underprepared for how amazing our first class was actually going to go. Like, I was just worried about getting it off the ground.
Right, right.
You know? So we got the idea of what we were going to do, how we were going to progress, we needed a venue. I was working out at my local YMCA in Phoenixville. I went up to the program director and I said, quite literally just approached her and was like, listen, I was wondering if I could bring about a dozen grown men into the building
yeah.
to braid their daughter's hair. And as soon as like the words left my mouth, my brain kind of shrugged and, you know, was kind of like, look around. This is the last time you're ever going to be in a YMCA.
Right. But did they had to immediately get it.
Yeah. Fortunately for us, she had just seen it on Facebook. She was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. When and where?
What about dads who are, you know, say they're single dads who have
you name it. So
there's all sorts of aspects of this.
We've had fathers come in with their daughters. We've had grandfathers come in with their granddaughters. I've been approached by moms. It's not just dads.
Right.
I mean, you know, anybody who's looking to.
Well, Kathy says she can't do a French braid.
Well, I can't do this type of French braid. I can't. And I'll tell you what. I mean, I could easily see that comment being made and not viciously or being mean. But when you see a kid whose hair is kind of messy, you're like, okay, yeah, you know. Dad had them today.
You would have been the one in elementary school making the comment, right?
We have a lot of texts coming in asking when and where, and we'll get to that in a moment, so stick with us. Here's people asking for advice. This is, my daughter is 4. She hates having her hair brushed. Any tips for making her not scream bloody murder every time I bring the brush out?
Turn it into a game. So okay. It's all about routine.
Right.
You know, so it can get boring. I think one of the biggest hurdles we had is when I started practicing, it would take... You know, I have an attention span that's a lot longer than Evelyn's.
Yeah.
So I could sit there for an hour, hour and a half trying to brush her hair. Well, she's not going to stare in a mirror mm-hmm. or stand at a kitchen table. So we come up with books, activities to do. So don't turn the hair into something tertiary and have an activity planned. Do the activity while your daughter's doing the activity.
Yeah.
Do her hair.
There you go.
All right. So here's something I would run into regularly when we just needed to brush it out. And so my daughter had really, really long hair. So you get tangles in the hair. They can be a real problem. So I would always just grab the hair close to the root so I could take the pressure off of, you know, pulling from her scalp. And then I could, like ripping through that hair to get it. And still, some of those would still pull.
Could you stop, Daddy?
It's hard to do, Steve. It's difficult. What's the best way to get to tangles?
What's the best way that Daddy gets tangles?
Evelyn?
Do I have to, I start at the bottom and work all the way up to the scalp, right?
I do it the opposite way.
Wow.
Man, she crossed her arms and everything.
Yes, she did.
I'll tell you what, though. Dad's right. That's how you should. That's how people with long hair should brush their hair. Start from the bottom.
Start at the bottom and work your way up.
So you don't tear your hair out.
What, Evelyn?
I use this kind of brush. It's like a green brush, and there's a thin one, like thin spikes.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to brush my hair from the top.
From the top, okay. But that's the way you do it when you're doing it on your own. Okay, I gotcha.
Evelyn, do you appreciate what your daddy does for you?
Okay.
Because if you don't, you see right over here, he's building a replacement daughter.
The mannequin head, by the way.
Well, another thing you run into is we start doing this, and you walk into a Target or you walk into somewhere that has all these hair products, and it's overwhelming. The aisle for this hair care and beauty stuff is absolutely overwhelming.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Inexpensive brushes. Find out whatever works. Everybody's got a different style. Just experiment a little bit. Find out what works. Evelyn likes the really soft bristled brushes for children's hair. So that's what
it's such a big thing, and it's something that I'm not, obviously I don't have any hair, so I'm not that well versed in hair just to begin with. But the truth of the matter is, Preston, you talk. Your daughter sent you a picture of she got her hair dyed just recently, and you can see the look on her face.
Yeah.
Was ecstatic.
Hey, here's a good question. I got this. It says, "Oh my gosh, we need a similar thing for foster parents," and it may have to do with people with ethnically different hair.
Don't know how to do that.
It says, "White mom trying to do the hair of little black girl equals absolute mayhem." So it's a different, consistency.
I take my niece a lot, and she is biracial, and she has super, super curly hair, and I have. When she leaves my house, people go, "Oh, she was at Aunt Kathy's."
And you don't want to do that to the kid, right?
Yeah. Right. No. And so, I'm not a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Like, I've learned by doing this. I learned by doing. And we have had every ethnicity and creed walk into our doors.
So you can address all that.
And I quite literally have these mannequin heads. This is real human hair.
Yeah.
These are professional cosmetology grade mannequin heads. I have them in every conceivable ethnicity to practice with just to help their dads out.
Yeah.
And the trick isn't, you're not going to comb through everybody's hair, but what can you do to manage and maintain it? Right. Like that's what
it's such a thing. About. Yeah. Right. It's a big thing. Right. And in school, especially if the kid's going off and not looking, it's, as we say, kids can be cruel. It's you want to make sure you're sending them in.
Yeah, and Evelyn's got a particular style. I mean, you can see she shaved, we shaved half of her head. She wanted to shave it last year, so we did. as long as we keep our grades up, then we're allowed to do whatever we want with our hair.
Right. I'm in the same ballpark with that as well. There's a great, I forgot, it might have been a meme or a picture of this really big, muscle-bound, tough-looking guy brushing his daughter's hair. And I'm like, it is really special.
Yeah. I mean, this goes beyond, single fathers or, tough guys. This is anybody that has a daughter. This is, I think, perfect. I was going to mention you were talking about ponytails, and have you ever seen the guy who does the ponytail with a vacuum cleaner?
Yes.
You know what?
This comes up all the time. Here's the thing with the vacuum cleaner. If you're going to do that, use a clean vacuum cleaner.
Right. Have you?
There's nothing I've ever used a vacuum cleaner for that I want all over my daughter's hair.
So you say buy a brand new shop vac.
That's funny.
Or you could use, you could get a hose, an extra attachment, and use it just for
Your hair.
It's actually, when I saw that, I'm like, wow, that's pretty damn brilliant, especially doing the high ponytail, which is really hard to pull off.
Can you show us a couple of quick things on this?
Yeah, he's getting set
this
up.
Here.
If you could show us a thing or two, that'd be cool, Warren. And while you're getting your stuff ready, I want to remind you, it's called Daddy Daughter Hair Factory. These are free workshop classes, by the way. Let me say that magic word again. They're free, right?
Yeah, so here's the thing. So, if we win today, if you guys decide, if you listeners decide that we are quite not an average, all of the proceeds that we're going to gain are going to go straight back towards hair ties and products for our classes.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I got to give a shout out to Veer from Le Buzz on Main Street in Phoenixville, my barber, who single-handedly funded the first 18 months of our class.
No kidding.
That's very cool.
I was getting a haircut, and I said, "Listen, you're going to think this is really cool." So I sat down in his chair, I was talking to him, and he kind of looked at me. He's like, what do you need?
Do you know what I learned?
That's great.
The Warren is that there's a stigma. For example, when I go in to the mall and start combing little girls' hair.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Invariably, there's some sort of police interaction. And it's something that needs to change.
So we do all of our classes through YMCAs, local libraries. We've gone to synagogues.
Sure.
Typically, we do them in organizations that are community-based, have some sort of process for, taking the reservations, things like that, that it's very organized and it's very public.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, just to keep everything above board.
So before we see you do something here, what? How do people contact you or to find out where classes
Facebook,
are?
Facebook, Daddy Daughter Hair Factory. You can find us on Facebook. All of our classes and all of our regions get posted on our Facebook page.
How quickly do they fill up?
Very, very quickly.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, this is such a sweet thing. It's such a it's such an awesome thing for a dad to be able to do that, or just anybody who's having difficulty.
Yeah,
because it's just it, and it all it's a bond. It's something you're doing together.
And that's our motto internally. Is it's not about the braid; it's about the bond.
Yeah, right, so I love it.
Daddy Daughter Hair Factory Facebook, and also people I can imagine have you come out to their church or whatever it may be and use that facility.
We had a class that we did in Phoenixville. And for those of you who don't know, that region of Chester County has a larger Hispanic population, mm-hmm. you know. And one of our classes, there were six men who were there who were Hispanic, and one of them was translating into Spanish what I was saying.
That's cool.
You know, and you talk about things like stigma.
Yeah.
You know, different cultures have different stigmas and stereotypes, mm-hmm. and some good, some bad. But those, I approached those guys afterwards, and I was like, "Do you guys want to do like a barbecue or something where we do this? You know, like can we team up?" That
I'll tell
way?
You what
I'm
seems,
always looking for things like that.
What seems to be a universal is that daddies get wrapped around daughters' fingers pretty quickly.
Yep,
easily.
What do you think, Evelyn?
Adorable, love her.
All right, what are we going to do here? What can
so
you show us?
I didn't know how much time I have, so what I did was I prepped. There's different holiday things you can do. You're mm-hmm. going to find a lot more supplies for doing these fun hairstyles
yeah.
in the arts and crafts aisles than you ever will in the beauty aisles.
Okay.
So things like you can see here, we made a turkey for yeah. Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. That's
yeah, it
that
is.
That's
oh, my
awesome.
God. That's so funny.
That's great.
That's awesome. Great.
So we actually use real a little bit of hot glue, a couple of pipe cleaners,
a couple of nails.
Long way.
No, that looks awesome.
It's
how I want. Can you do that? Do it in my scalp if you can.
So
do
you
it.
Made some plumage out of feathers. Did you get those at a craft store?
AC Moore's.
Okay, and then you just hot glue those together in a bit of a fan, and then you added
glued them onto a bobby pin, stuck the bobby pin right in the thing. That's
and,
it.
Oh, and so the body of the turkey is actually the bun
it's
of
the
hair.
Bun. Yeah.
And then you you took pipe cleaners that are a brownish color, and you kind of created a head with a what do you call this, a waddle, or what is the turkey, the thing that hangs down?
Yeah, what
down.
Is that called?
I forgot. It's got a specific
name
to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is fantastic. That is excellent.
What do you have? What would you do for Christmas?
Oh, the reindeer.
The reindeer.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have one that's it's essentially... It's very similar, except instead of feathers, they're antlers. There's a red nose, and you have googly eyes.
Besides the craft part of this, how long does it take to do a bun like that?
I did that last night in about 10 minutes.
About 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I redid it like six times because I wanted it to look real good for today.
Yeah,
but
generally, putting a bun up on a little girl, how long does that take?
5 minutes.
5 minutes tops?
Because
okay.
Evelyn and Kaz, I mean, they've been in gymnastics, and they've run off of the mat. I put their hair in a bun, they run back on the mat.
Yeah, I would like to have known how to... braid my daughter's hair. I don't think I have the patience for it, but I think maybe with some practice I might be able to do it. I wouldn't even know how to start to do something like that. But you do various braids and different ways to put the hair up or combing, all of it, right?
We start with the very, very basics and work our way out.
Do you need to go to multiple workshops?
We have had dads come to multiple ones
just
because they've had so much fun and enjoyed it. We've so far have not to branch off. A lot of it has to do with our schedule, but not branched off into various levels. Like, we just have one.
Okay, so one should get it done.
Right.
Okay.
Is Evelyn with you at each of the classes
that
you teach?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Evelyn and Kaiser. So Kaiser helps, you know, my son, he's seven here.
Oh, okay.
He helps us set up. There's a lot of setup. You know, typically we'll bring balloons and pretzels and we'll put books out and...
And how much are they paid for this? I'm just kidding. I thought I'd set up an uncomfortable dynamic for you.
Evelyn, what's the neatest thing that your dad does to your hair? What do you like the most?
I usually like the Christmas one.
Do you?
Ah.
Okay. And is it always a reindeer?
No, but I don't... Yeah, we only did it once.
Only once.
But Dad put this in my hair earlier.
That looks nice.
She's got like a poinsettia.
Yeah.
A poinsettia. In her hair, which is really neat. Do you like wearing flowers and bows and things
like
that
flowers.
In your hair? That's cool.
Is there a Christmas tree? I haven't done a Christmas tree? Okay. All right.
I mean, depending on the length of the hair, you could take multiple sock buns and do a snowman.
Yeah.
You know what's a lot of fun? Those little jingly bells fit right in a bobby pin. Stick three or four in there.
That's
you
so
want to
cute.
Ruin a teacher's day. Yeah. Put six jingly bells in your daughter's hair and send her off to school.
What's a sock bun?
So a sock bun is the foam
like this?
Form that yeah. okay. is used that basically you wrap the hair up in there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's technically like an old sock that you cut the where the toes were off. You cut that off and then you roll it up and then it's technically like a bun.
So they call it a sock bun because originally what they would do...
Right, he's bringing out the...
You take a sock, uh-huh. an old sock.
A little sock, okay.
You cut the end off.
Yep.
You make a donut.
Okay.
I love those socks.
Dad, you ruined those socks.
Murderer.
All right, they haven't voted yet. So but this is how it started. Uh-huh. You know, what happens, like most things, is manufacturers get a hold of it, and you can buy commercially created ones.
Sure.
Okay, all right.
These are a little bit easier. They grab the hair a little bit better.
The hair goes through it?
And looks like a donut. Size.
Yeah, so yeah.
You make a ponytail, you pull the hair through, and you just roll it.
Oh.
And it rolls into a donut. Sock bun.
Preston. No kidding. It's just that easy.
I'm telling you.
I never knew.
You can't overcomplicate this stuff. Yeah. You've got to keep it simple.
I just bought a miter saw at home. Is there any application for that with the hair? No, this is so cool. I mean, her hair right now just looks so cute with the red in it. And it's just, it's nice. It's very, very cute. And you did that.
So, we're in the green room. While
awesome.
We're
I'm like, my hair.
Kaiser just came over and did his... His little smoke movements with his hand. He wants to get in on the show as well.
So.
Nice. Are you Kaiser in that microphone right there? Stand up. Are you going to grow your hair long so your dad can do stuff with it?
No.
No.
No. Right. Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
But you got on radio, buddy. So nice job.
There you go. Yeah. You're now a member of SAG. Hey, yeah. Kaiser, you want to hear something funny?
Okay.
There's our audience.
As soon as Casey saw the kids, he's like, where are the farts?
Yeah, we have to play
get
farts.
Get the farts ready. Evelyn, you were about to say something.
You can also do, if, like, you don't have one of the bun things, you and, like, you're at school and have extra ponytails on your wrist. Like, I do this sometimes if my hair's getting, like, annoying and my hair's still in a ponytail. I just take my hair and roll it around, then I put the ponytail holder on it for the end, and then it sticks there.
Okay.
It's,
like,
a... Look at you.
Did you figure that out on your own, or did somebody show you how to do that?
I like
her coolness. Yeah, figured that out myself. Yeah. Let's do. All right, so that's awesome. How often are these workshops held?
So we try and do 6 to 8 a year easily.
Okay.
In between, we'll do seasonal ones. So in the summertime, as the summer comes, we theme them.
Okay.
You know, so we'll talk about how to take care of your hair at the beach, at the pool, things like that, you know. And then when school comes back, we have easy styles to go back to school in.
So maybe about once a month or so?
Once a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So for those who are interested, you will want to look this up now. And as Warren was saying, he's the only one in our area. There's like 18 around the country or maybe around the world. I don't know. But not a whole lot. You didn't want to drive to Pittsburgh, so you learned how to do it yourself.
Right. And our biggest recruiters for dads doing what I do is simply to come to some of our classes, see how it's done, see if it's something you might be interested in. Because, I mean, this is something that you know, through attrition is Evelyn's getting older.
I think it's great.
Yeah. You know, and we're going to need the next generation to come up underneath us.
It's awesome.
All right. Well, we are now going to put it to you. Is Warren worthy of the Not Your Average Listener moniker and $250 cash prize, which he said he'll donate right back to the organization? It's up to you to decide. So what you need to do is text the word yes, if you think so, to 39333. Or if you thought it was a complete waste of time, then you say no.
That's all you have to do.
39333, and we will find out. And, of course, our sponsor is Primo Hoagies. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo, and they have ponied up the cash. So we'll take a break, and when we return, we'll find out. But thank you very much, guys.
You guys want to say do you want to say hi to Mommy?
Oh! All right.
Wow.
From the mouths of babes.
Kids say the darndest things.
Evelyn and Kaiser and Warren, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Kevin Smith coming up as well. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit handandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spot for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we go to our guests on the phone line, we need to find out how our Not Your Average Listener voting went. We had Warren Anders, who is here, and he is with an organization called Daddy Daughter Hair Factory. He's the only one in the area that does this. It's a free workshop. They offer free workshop classes to give fathers the tools and skills needed to do their daughter's hair. We're talking about everything from just brushing to ponytails to French braids to, you know, buns, all this stuff.
The whole deal.
And I have to admit, I was a little skeptical at first as what our audience might have thought.
How could you not?
Of Warren, but I'm telling you, overwhelmingly, all the texters voted 98% yes!
Yes!
So they absolutely loved Warren and his story. So nice job there, Warren. And Evelyn didn't hurt either, your daughter, and Kaiser as well. So you guys did great. And Warren, you're going to take this money, the prize money, and what are you going to do with it?
It's going to go straight back into supplies for dads and their daughters.
That's fantastic. I wish a few years ago I would have met you. My daughter, I could still do her hair if I wanted to.
I would love to have seen some of the failed tries that you had.
God, and her, you know... Ow!
Must have looked like the Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, all of that stuff. So, but listen, if you're interested, check out Daddy Daughter Hair Factory on Facebook, and you can find out where these free workshops are. So $250 courtesy of our friends at Primo Hoagies. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. Congratulations, Warren.
Thank you very much. And if I could just, like, real quick, the YMCA has really opened its arms to us. If you haven't checked out a Y lately, check it out. Their child care center, they're unbelievable. They really, really have. And Carolyn Muldoon, I know you're listening. She's the Delcoite who suggested that we do this, the Dune.
Yeah.
So, Carolyn, I got you in there. Thank you so much for this. This has been one heck of an experience.
Nice job. Let's hear it for Warren and Evelyn and Kaiser for coming in this morning. Very cool stuff. I wish I would have had that a few years ago. What are you going to do?
You can practice on me. I mean, it's you're going to have to be pulling flesh, but it's still...
All I've done is traumatize my daughter. That's it. All right. Our next guest. Listen, we lost a legend. We lost Stanley last week. Obviously, we spent a good amount of time talking about it. One of the first people we reached out to see if he'd be available, although we knew how busy he was.
Yeah, this would be the go-to guy.
Exactly. And so better late than never, of course. We'll talk to him about anything, anytime. But obviously, he had a very close relationship with Stanley. So we want to welcome our friend, Mr. Kevin Smith, to the show this morning. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Let me understand the daddy-daughter hair factory. So my hair is thinning.
Yes.
I can take my daughter's hair and graft it out.
That is a wholly other concept there, Kevin.
I support this. What YMCA can I do this at?
These aren't full-blown scalp transplants we're talking about.
That'd be nice, though.
I'm ready to do it, man. Late in life, all of a sudden I look better than I did earlier in life, but the hair will always be a problem.
Hey, did you used to tackle Harley's hair when she was a kid?
I would brush.
Yeah.
But, you know, I couldn't do any tricks. I couldn't do ponytails or pigtails or anything like that. That was where Jen would step in.
Yeah.
I was just the basic brushing and really the first level of brushing. Like, you know, she got out of the bath. I got to brush her hair because it was wet, because that was the only thing I could handle.
It's easier.
And then Jennifer would be like, step aside, God.
We wanted to talk, obviously, about Stanley and whatever else is on your mind as well, because, like I said, we'll talk to you about anything. Before he passed, when was the last time you guys were in the same room with each other or connected in any way?
That would be his birthday party last year. So Stan turned 95, really... Bummer part of all this is, like, he would have turned 96 in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
He almost hit his 96th birthday. So Max, who was his body man and took great care of him for years and stuff, Max said, hey, we're throwing Stan a surprise party. I said, are you sure that's a good idea for a 95-year-old man?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, we're doing it over in Beverly Hills. And I had, like, a Babylon that night. But, you know, it was going to be cutting it close. But I was like, oh, I'm not going to miss this. So... Last time I was in a room with him was on his 95th birthday. I saw him come in. Everyone yelled surprise. He said, who are all these people? Then he sat down and held court. lovely as always. Every time I ever saw him, he usually opened with the same line. Yeah, when are we doing another movie? Like, that was our connection point.
Was it his last cameo was Yoga Hosers?
For me, yeah. It was in Yoga Hosers, but, you know, obviously for the Marvel movie.
Right, yeah.
A few more banked for him and stuff. But, yeah, it was, of course, we all knew Stan was old, and we only age in one direction. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we don't get healthier and stronger as we get older.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, like, even though, you know, he's 95 and he passed away, when we worked with him on Mallrats, he was 73.
Wow.
And, like, they were telling us then, they were like, be careful with them. This old man can go at any minute. And he lived for another 23 years, and I almost died of a heart attack this year. He almost outlived me.
Yeah, that is
one of the strongest individuals that I ever met. He was a guy, like, my friend Vinny Pereira reminded me. When we were making Mallrats, like, after Stan died, Vinny was like, he texted me and said, I used to mall walk with him all the time. And that was, I remembered, like, when he was in Minnesota. He kept his health up, so he was like, ooh, a mall, so he could mall walk, because he was a 73-year-old man, and he just filed in with all the other oldsters who were walking around the mall. But Vinny always said that he had trouble keeping up, because Stan was brisk. You got to remember, he left in New York, the East Coast, like in the early 70s, and he'd been living in California ever since, and that dude was California healthy, both him and Joni. I mean, his wife passed away last year, like, so they made it, both of them made it into their 90s, they were nonagenarians.
Yeah,
there's something to be said for living a healthy lifestyle. But when we met him, he was a quote-unquote old then. And he just seemed to age in the opposite direction, though his body, of course, broke down, as all of ours do. His soul, his heart, got lighter and lighter. He got younger. And this was a man who loved not being famous like as a fame whore loves it, like I love being famous as a fame whore. But he loved connecting with the world, because then he knew that he was connecting the world with comics as well.
Yeah.
He was our great ambassador. You know, I told him often, I was like, you're like the Mark Twain of comics. But more to the point, in fact, he was a modern-day Mark Twain. And strike that altogether, he was a modern-day Stan Lee. You know, just like Mark Twain has no like, Stan had no like. And never mind the fact that, like, there's a whole generation that knows him is like, hey, he popped up in all the movies. That's Spider-Man's baby daddy. But it's like, go back over the long career the man has and stop in at that moment in time in Marvel Comics history where Stan and Jack and Steve and all his partners create the Marvel Universe. You'll never see that like again. Somebody creating that much, that many characters, or what they call in the business IP, intellectual property, you'll never see that creative burst over 10 years that will fuel many lifetimes. This is our American mythology.
Yes.
And long after
yes.
we're gone, people are still going to be telling stories about these characters. And unlike the Greek myths, we don't know who wrote those, right? But we know who wrote Spider-Man. We know who came up with the Hulk. And he'll be with us always. The dude was, I'm happy to report, as a man who, like, you know, I got to work with him on Mallrats. And then, oddly enough, we became friends. And we were friends for nearly 25 years. I didn't realize that until 10 years in, that he considered me a friend and stuff. And to me, he was just a guy that, you know, he was a god. He was a comics god, and we were lucky enough to get him into Mallrats. Like, I had written a role in Mallrats for a comic book guru character. And Jim Jacks, the late producer of the movie, said, who's this supposed to be? And I said, well, I mean, if it was in the real world, it would be like Stan Lee, somebody who created all these characters and everybody knows. And he goes, well, why don't you just write it for Stan Lee? I said, I don't know Stan Lee. He goes, I do. He said, I do. And I said, Hollywood is good. So, like, I wrote for Stan. I rewrote the scene, and Jim gave it to him. They went to eat at this restaurant in town called Bantanas. And they went to eat, and the next that night, I talked to Jim. I was like, how'd it go? I was in New Jersey. He was on the phone. And he goes, well, he's going, he's in, but he's got, you know, one question he wants to ask you. I said, what did he say to you? He goes, you really want to know? I said, yeah. I said, well, I gave him the scene. He read it. And he said, Jim, I would never say this. And he used the S word. So I was like, oh, my Lord, he's going to yell at me about the things I wrote for him to say. But instead, the next day, he called me, Kevin, this is Stan Lee. I said, I know who you are. Oh, my Lord, what an honor this is. I've seen you at so many Comic-Cons over the course of my life, but usually from a distance. And thank you for considering this, blah, blah, blah. And I fanboyed out. And then he said, listen, I want to do this. I love being in movies and TV. He's going, but you got to understand, in your movie, you have me telling people that there was this woman that got away, the one that got away. And I don't have that. He's going, I've got a wife, Joni, and we've been together for like 30 years or 50, 40 years at that point. So he's like, so I can't go out there on screen and say that one got away, because then I'll be the one without a home. So he's like, can we do a scene in the movie where, you know, it's revealed that I was only kidding, that, you know, that the advice I was giving was meaningful, but, you know, I'm still Stan Lee, because he was playing himself. He was very concerned that Joni would be hurt.
Wow.
The original version of Stan Lee, where, you know, she didn't exist in his world. So I said, naturally, I'll do anything you want, man. You're a master storyteller. You're telling me to include one more scene. I'm going to take that advice. Now, it was, you know, in retrospect, Stan's way to extend his cameo. He's like, I know how to get one more scene in the movie. I'm going to tell this kid. And then he told me what he told me. So Sam was a genius, man, and a salesman of the highest degree. And I don't mean that in any sort of negative connotation, man. Like, he was a classy, classic salesman. He sold me on comic books. He sold me on the idea of being good rather than bad. More so than the Catholic Church I was raised in, my morality came from Stan Lee and his stories, going like, look, these are the people that do good things, and these are the people that do bad things. It's always better to help people out. He's the guy that, one of the key factors, key creators of the classic superhero story, which tells us that when the worst thing in the world is happening and everybody is running away from it, these individuals will run toward it.
Yeah.
Stan gave us that, created a lot of our morality, man. Like, you know, and that sounds silly, but it's true. His stories were way more entertaining than the Bible stories they were slinging me in Catholic Church. Way more color, way more capes. So at the end of the day, I liked his version of morality far more than the institutional version of morality. Hey. He gave me so many things to do as a kid, and then he shaped my adulthood. I still talk about the same dopey things that I talked about as a kid, like the comic books, heroes, pop culture genre stuff. Because of him, he was like, here's a way to live, kid. Like, that's what it felt like. I looked at him as an example. And so I was like, look, here's a grown man talking about comic books. I'll never forget my father pulling me into the living room to be like, he's on TV. I said, who? He goes, Stan Lee. And that was the first time I saw him in live action. But I knew his voice before I'd ever heard it, because I read the comic books, and his voice is always so crisp, loud, and clear, even on the page.
Right. Yeah. So I have a question, because I have a fear, and it's a legit fear every single time a Marvel movie comes out, because it always, you know, it leads on to the next one. But I have a legit fear right now that I won't make it to see Captain Marvel, or more importantly, the Avengers Infinity Wars Part 2. Do you know if Stan was able to see either of those movies?
I'm not sure. I probably not, right? Like, they're still working on Avengers, obviously, and Captain Marvel's not locked yet, I don't think, either. They still got another 3 months. So, you know, I think at that point in his life, Stan would see the movies at the premiere. I don't think he would go in early or anything. But more importantly, I know that Stan's two cameos for those movies are shot.
Right.
So we know he's going to be in both of those. And we'll still have him with us cinematically. And also, we have him with us forever. I mean, this is one of those Jedi moments, or to quote the Infinity War, like, Stan just kind of, you know, post-snap drifted away, you know, dusted off. He's still here.
Right,
His
right.
His work is still here. We still live in a Stan Lee-generated world. Unfortunately, it's just currently a Stan Lee-less world at the same time.
You know,
but, man, talk about a long tail, and talk about an impact. What was it? Steve Jobs is like, leave a dent in the universe. Stan Lee created an entire universe. That's what he did with his life.
I mean, it's such a stellar collection. You know, and we know that we talk with and deal with a whole bunch of comic book publishers and different companies, and the amount of failed attempts at creating franchises that work, or characters that work. You look at the rock solid collection of legendary characters that came out of his mind, and as you said earlier, it's something that will never be replicated. It's just astonishing.
And he would downplay it all the time. Like, you know, all those of us who were outside of the picture or outside of Stan Lee and would look at Stan Lee and marvel at what he did, pun intended. But Stan Lee himself always downplayed it. You know, he's known for saying that when he was younger, he wouldn't tell people that he wrote comic books for a living. He's like, I knew doctors and I knew businessmen, and here I was writing like funny books.
Right.
He's going, but then a couple decades in, I realized that everyone needs entertainment. Entertainment is the valve that releases the steam. So even smart people enjoy these characters and stories. He's like, and then I started talking about it. I became more proud and stuff. And Lord knows he spent a lifetime talking about it. He was a tireless champion for the medium. All, you know, generally, of course, always Marvel, I would say 80 to 90% of the time. But just comics in general. Like, he was the one person in the 70s who was out there in the world, you know, saying comics, comics, comics. And that was mostly for kids, but he was doing college lectures at that point,
man, yeah.
Because suddenly pop culture was shaping itself, and people were like, hey, I read these comics as a kid, but, you know, now it's 8 years later, and I'm in college, but these stories still matter to me. And this guy, he's the guy that created these stories. Oh, I'll sit down and listen and talk. And it started slowly like that on college campuses. And then he got to roll it out there in the world and be the ambassador of comics. There's no one out there that's like that today. This is such a one-of-a-kind person this man was. Like, one of the greatest things I read on the net after he died on Twitter was somebody said, like, the greatest character that Stanley Lieber, that was Stanley's real name, ever created was Stan Lee himself.
Yeah.
He did. He shaped this individual and put this individual on like a character and went out there smiling to the world talking about, you know, the joy of being good. I saw him do that. Like last year, right after his wife passed away, he was supposed to get his feet and his handprints in the cement at the Chinese Theater, you know, in Los Angeles,
yeah.
Right there, where all the famous people get the footprints and stuff. And so we assumed it was like a week after Joni passed. I was supposed to be the MC of the event. We assumed that he wasn't going to make it. You know, he just lost the love of his life. But Stan put that character back on. He put on that Stan Lee sweater. And went out there, gave everybody the show. Like, you know, let everybody honor him, put his hands and feet in cement and stuff. He didn't, nobody, you know, used it as an occasion to mourn Joni, although we all were. She passed like a week before. But he did that for the fan base. Like, you know what? I said I was going to do this, and this is a milestone, and of course I'm going to be there. Like, that man had such a noble soul. Aside from being very creative, he's just a gentleman. Boy, did he love his wife.
Yeah, that's clear. And, you know, in a way, too, and that sort of, that, I mean, listen, it was a loss, but that sort of mitigated it because it was clear that she was everything to him. And yes. Whatever you believe as far as what happens after, it's nice to think that whatever happens, they're now together again, which is a cool thing. I wanted to ask you also, Kevin, about Silent but Deadly on Showtime. The specials, you know, I saw the preview for it. I guess it's they're running it. That special and the whole culmination of that, and I don't think we've really had a chance to talk to you, maybe quickly on the phone after the heart attack, and you talked about your own health and how you're now in better shape and doing better than you were years ago. It is the proverbial second lease on life for you, is it not?
Yeah, that heart attack, obviously, and not even being ironic or smirky or cute about it, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. It saved my life, probably.
Yeah.
Because, you know, suddenly I was like, all right, well, this is bad. I'm 47 and I'm having a heart attack. So after I got out of it, I said, I'm going to change. Like, I'm going to do it. So I went, what some consider drastic, but to me, I was like, you know, there's this choice or the grave. And I went vegan. And it's made all the difference. Like, weight just kind of fell off once the animal products were out of my life. And I don't, you know, mean to, this is not political. I ain't trying to murder people who love meat and stuff like that. I'm just telling you my story. I ain't trying to convert you. But like when I went vegan, I dropped 60 pounds without even trying.
And that's it. Yeah.
I'm at my adult lowest right now. I weigh 198.
Like, wow.
Damn.
Wow. That's awesome because, and I tell this, so I had prostate cancer in 2014, had the operation. I adjusted my diet to a more Mediterranean diet. You tell people what you're saying is right now, whether it's vegan or vegetarian, the options are plentiful. If you don't like the food you're eating, you're not going to eat it. But now it's never been a more viable proposition. So people who might have not considered it in a while should visit it because the stuff is good. It tastes good.
Yeah, well, what are you going to eat for Thanksgiving?
I agree, man. Like in terms of if this had happened to me 5-10 years ago, I don't think I could have went vegan because it would have been like, well, here, eat your vegetables. And I'll be honest with you, I hate vegetables. right. a vegan who hates vegetables. So you find the thin paths you can walk on. Like, right. I do like these. I do like these. And then you kind of stick with it and stuff. So for Thanksgiving, we're doing, like, the whole family is now at least vegetarian, if not vegan. Me and the kid are vegan. Jennifer, my wife, is vegetarian. And Jen's parents, Byron and Gail, have lived with us since Harley was a baby. They're also between vegetarian and vegan. So we're having a no, like, turkey Thanksgiving. I was
sure.
working with the Farm Sanctuary people, and we did this Adopt-A-Turkey program at adoptaturkey.org and stuff, just telling people, like, hey, man, if you're not into eating bird and stuff, you can sponsor a turkey family. And so we're going birdless. I'm going to be eating at my favorite restaurant on the planet is this place called Veggie Grill. Which my wife is like, that's the Burger King of fast food. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I love it. So we're going to be eating there. And then there's another restaurant out in Los Angeles called Crossroads, also a vegan restaurant. So we're going to do two. I wanted to go Veggie Grill. The rest of the family wanted to go Crossroads. And I was like, let's just do both because we don't have any leftovers.
Yes, there's stuff out there and there are options that are very viable. I wanted to also talk to you about the stuff you've been doing within the DC universe on the on the television side, and it seems like, and I'll see you, I'll follow you on Instagram, you'll post, it just seems to be a wonderful world for you to be in. Do you have any other episodes of the various shows that you've directed coming up?
I do. I've got a Supergirl that's coming up, episode 408. So I think they're on episode 5 right now.
Yeah.
I think they've released the first 5 episodes. With 3 more apps. So I think we're right after Thanksgiving or something like that. We're right before the crossover episode. And that storyline has been really wonderful this year. And we get to do some cool stuff with Supergirl in our episode that I've never seen done before. And then there's a big moment in the show in the last act where you're like, holy crap. So, I got a nice episode to play with. I love going up there. They shoot them in Vancouver. I've done 3 Flashes and 4 Supergirls now. It's so fun to do. And also, more importantly, it's not like when you make a comic book movie, that's a year of your life.
Yeah.
Like, talk to the Russo brothers and stuff. But when you go to these shows, you're out in 9 days. So for 9 days, like, yeah, look, I'm playing with all these toys. Look at this guy. He solves his problems by running real fast. So his problem, by punching him in the face real hard. And then you get to walk away. And you know that you can't, ruin it. Like, James Wan looks like he made a phenomenal Aquaman movie,
yeah.
But until the rest of the world sees it, he's sitting there clenching, going, oh, I hope I did the right thing.
Mm.
Me with Supergirl, even if I ruin the episode, I just know that the audience has to wait a week and there'll be a better episode.
Right. Well, you have yet to ruin anything. I love seeing your name pop up. And I think, in fact, you bring your pedigree to it, which is, a sheer love of the source material. And even like with Supergirl, which I think started slowly, it has hit a stride. I'm just curious if you wonder this. We are living in the best of times for these comic book translations. On television, are we approaching the potential for glut level? There's almost too much at this point to take in fully.
It's not even just in terms of comic book character glut. It's just we live in this period right now of insane content where they're making things you're like, what? Like, what is it? Amazon is doing Good Omens, the Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett book that
right.
I loved as a kid, and now that's a series. So right now we're just in this period of like a prolific amount of content, so much so that it's difficult to keep up with things that you, like 10 years ago, if somebody said, hey, there's going to be a Teen Titans show, you'd be like, oh my Lord, I will watch every episode the moment it comes out. And Teen Titans has been available on the DC Universe app, and I've seen one episode, enjoyed it, but I haven't been able to sit down and mm-hmm. watch the rest.
Right.
I'm still trying to keep up with Daredevil.
Oh, and
just dropped.
I'll see an ad for season finale after 7 seasons. Tonight is the final episode of a show I've never even heard of before.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of content out there. And, I mean, it's great for content creators because it means a lot of people working, a lot of things getting made, but nobody, we live in the streaming era, so Netflix doesn't share any of its data. So we don't know who's really watching what over there. And at the end of the day, you're like, who is watching all these programs? Like,
exactly.
Clearly not enough time. It's like it's not possible. And so after, years, you're starting to see like Netflix is kind of dropping shows as well. And that's a clear indicator of like, well, maybe nobody was watching that show or something. But I don't know. I'm mixed feelings about it. As a creator, I'm like, nice. There are more places to try to apply your trade and,
yeah,
and sell your wares and whatnot. But as a consumer, like, you know, you got to remember, I was there when there was three TV channels. I was there when the internet began. Like, I remember having a conversation with somebody when the internet started. They're like, ooh, have you been to the internet? And I was like, yeah, I did the whole thing.
I read the whole internet. No, you're exactly right. But you can stay on top of it. And for people, I mean, we all sort of have, from the years of comic book collecting, a completist attitude. So you want to absorb everything. You want to be on top of everything. And yet it's that fear of being left out and missing out on stuff. I mean, the new Damon Lindelof, the Watchmen series, it's coming. All these things are in the works. It's just, it's a crazy amount to take in.
It is. And it's be careful what you wish for. Like when I was a kid reading the comics I wish they would make this into a movie. Why can't this be a TV show? Now it all is, man. Anything with like a 10-year old birthday or shelf life or whatever, yep, immediately gets considered. Even things that just drop suddenly get considered. So I'm all for it, but this is what I think. There's so much of it. I'm 48 now. It's going to be there hopefully in 20 years when I slow down to the point of like, you know, I'm out here with my mom. She just had surgery. She's 73. So I've seen my future. You slow down. You can't help it. At that point, I'm going to watch everything.
You bet your ass.
Kevin,
yeah,
you were here about a year ago, and you really made a nice video for my nephew Luke, who was concerned about the relationship between Iron Man and Captain America. And you had already seen Avengers. You let him know that everything was going to work out. I just want to let you know that what you say now in that household is gospel. So anything that ever comes. And so just thank you very much for making that in the first place. Luke thinks you're a god.
There was a great man I met once who passed on, as he did to many other people. A wonderful little adage, something along the lines of, with great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, no, very, very true. We can't thank you enough, Kevin, for taking time, especially before Thanksgiving. What's going to be a vegan Thanksgiving? But we're glad you're here on this planet to enjoy it with your family and be a part of the show this morning.
Yep, and come to Philly soon.
I will be coming to Philly, see my Philly family, and I'll be in to see you guys when I do that, man. You guys are always so sweet and kind to me, and thank you so much for letting me talk about it. This is how we keep the man alive.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
He died last week, and this world moves very fast, as we've seen now. So the only way that we keep him going, other than like he still pops up in the movies and people know him for the cameos, is you share his story, you share his legend, you pass him on. So yep, this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. Thank you.
That's cool. Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Bye. Right.
Appreciate it. Kevin Smith, guys. Very, very cool of him to give us a call. And he had some really, really great things to say.
God, man, you can knock off Casey's hand is raised for what, you know, but everything he's saying is fascinating. And
yeah,
you want to pick a moment, because here's a guy who's as connected to this pop culture world, yeah, that we just adore,
right,
as can be.
And he's a busy guy. And, yeah, and I wanted to thank him personally, but he's so easy to deal with. I don't have to go through a publicist or a manager or whatever.
Nice. Casey just shoots a text to him.
Directly to him. You know, when Stan had passed, obviously he was inundated with stuff, and he had gotten back to me days later. He's like, I am so sorry. I just got this. How about tomorrow? And that was Friday.
Yeah,
he overslept because he was on the West Coast, but now he's East Coast, so that's why he was able to chat with us today.
He could be far less gracious than he is, but mm-hmm, he's awesome.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. Our friends from Dunkin' Donuts were here earlier. I want to give away a Dunkin' gift card. You know, I got two of those left, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll take callers 10 and 11, 215-263, WMMR, a $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. Don't forget that they are sponsoring the parade tomorrow, and they want to remind you, starting this Friday through December 30th, Dunkin' Donuts Perks members can receive a $1.49 large hot coffee when they pay with an enrolled Dunkin' card. So keep that in mind. 215-263-WMMR is the number. I know I'm missing some. Oh, secret text word. We have your chance to win four movie tickets from Fandango. So text the word secret to 39333. We'll see if you can win that in a little bit. We will take a caller and get a winner for that. And just a reminder, I want to remind you again, unfortunately, one thing, you know, has canceled from the Camp Out for Hunger. We got a lot of moving parts, but we're not going to be able to do the open skate at the Flyers, on the Flyers' ice at the Wells Fargo Center. So if you're planning on coming out with your skates, That has changed that, but we have a lot of other things that are going to be taking place, and we'll keep making announcements about other events that are happening at the Camp Out for Hunger. If you want to, Marissa has this very comprehensive link on PrestonandSteve.com with a lot of the things that are going on. You can get all the information right there, so feel free to check it out. We'll be back in a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Andorra.
Because you shot me like a bad habit. How do I forget that?
Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Andorra, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks our world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
New Daily Rush video is up. It is titled Cheap Dates. It says, Preston has a list of fun dates to help you save money. Warning, do not bring Kathy on any of these. So that is available now for your viewing pleasure at PrestonandSteve.com. And it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And by the way, at Punchline this weekend, our friend Joe DeRosa is performing. So we want to give a plug for him. He's a local guy.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't Thanksgiving week, we would have had him in studio. But we're obviously not working tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be out tomorrow, Friday.
So, yeah, I mean, the guy is, you know him from obviously stand-up work, but Better Call Saul and all that stuff. But, yeah, he's got Friday and Saturday night at Punchline.
Cool, man. Let me see. You know what? Let's just do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. They're here.
Yeah!
In our studio, new handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2. American runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Two county inmates on a work crew got drunk on the alcohol from hand sanitizer and then went joyriding on a stolen ATV until deputies caught up with them.
That's a wonderful holiday story.
Christopher G. Ture and Sean D. McAllister were part of a four-inmate work crew at a ranch feeding rescue animals and cleaning up the property. Now, at some point, Ture and McAllister drank sanitizer from a container in the jail van, took off on a sheriff's office four-wheeler, and broke through a ranch entrance gate on their way off the land. Now, it's not clear how much hand sanitizer they drank, nor if the two inmates drank, or if the other two inmates drank any. The amount of alcohol in hand sanitizer ranges from 45% to 95%.
And then the rest of it is soap.
To give you an idea, wine has 10%, 10 to 15%, and beer contains 5 to 10%. This has 45 to 95%.
What pairs nicely with jerky?
It would be, obviously, it would be hand sanitizer. Most hand sanitizing products have more than 60% ethyl alcohol, which is found in beer, brandy, and whiskey. The deputy in charge of supervising the inmates noticed McAllister and Ture were missing and saw the gate had been forced open. Someone later called 911 and reported seeing the duo speeding in the area on the ATV and riding in circles. Authorities used an Oregon State Police plane to find McAllister and Ture on the ATV. They described it as green with the word sheriff written on the side of it. Ture was found around 12:30 p.m. McAllister was found about 35 minutes later. By then, McAllister had abandoned the ATV and run away, and officials found him trying to hide in a field. So these guys are obviously getting some charges laid against them for escaping. Toilet paper, one of those rare things that it makes sense to buy in bulk, but within reason. The Marshall County Sheriff's Office in Alabama mistakenly spent $22,000 on toilet paper and another $9,000 for 450 cases of trash bags. It was a mistake.
Alabama!
It's a problem because its entire budget for janitorial supplies for the next year is $15,000.
So they went over budget on toilet paper.
Yeah. County commissioners have negotiated the bill of more than $30,000 down to about half, but they also don't know where all that extra toilet paper is going to be stored. They don't know where to put it. It's so much. Lots of folks might choose their wine by design on the label, but one label in particular is causing quite the stir on social media. The wine is called Four Skins.
Four Skins.
Yes.
Wow.
The number four, come and on. Then the word skins.
Love it.
And the bottle features an image of four apples overlapping vertically. So you can, you know, they're going for the skin of the apple.
Oh, yeah. Comes in a very decorative nut bag.
Yeah. And someone uploaded an image of the label on a Twitter account, which is called You Had One Job, with the caption, "Are you sure you want to call it that?" Mm. The label has folks arguing over whether it was intentional or an awkward mistake.
Shall I pour you a glass of pee hole?
Four skins. I love it. Let's see. You don't think of otters as requiring groceries, but you never know. In Ireland, a closed-circuit TV in a supermarket captured video of the moment that an otter ran around the store. I didn't know they had otters in Ireland.
Celtic otters.
Staff at a location of Mr. Price in Swinford, Ireland, can be seen in the clips trying to corner the otter.
Excuse me, where are your conch shells?
But it keeps running away. Animal charity members eventually came to the rescue, and they took the animal away for treatment. Another animal story. A student was recording a video of a deer outside of an Iowa high school and managed to capture the moment the animal actually jumped through a window and into an office. The video, posted to Snapchat, shows the deer running wild outside of Janesville High School before jumping through the window of the principal's office. Principal B.J. Meany, really?
Oh, my God. So, you know, if he was in the military, it'd be Mean B.J.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Principal B.J. Meany, who was inside his office at the time, said a parent picking up his child used a chair to guide the deer back out of the building. We'll do one more story. How about we end with this one? The tattoos that covered nearly all of a Saskatoon man's body are being preserved and framed by a U.S. company. Cheryl Wenzel said he used to always say, you know, tattoo till death. This is Chris Wenzel's widow said this.
Tattoo till death.
And he said, and I think he really took it to a different context. Wenzel, who worked as a tattoo artist, died in his sleep on October 29th. The 41-year-old who had ulcerative colitis had recently been complaining about his chest before his heart stopped. Cheryl said he knew that he was going to go. But before that, the artist discovered something called Save My Ink Forever, an American company that preserves and frames the tattoos of the deceased. In a process that takes about 3 months, one skin is surgically excised before a special formula is used to conserve it.
Oh, that's beautiful. So what you're saying is after they're dead, they skin them.
That's it. Kyle Sherwood started the business with his father.
This is my husband. I had him skinned.
Who said tattoos tell a story about a person, and for someone to get something tattooed on them that they're displaying for life means something to them. You wouldn't burn or bury a Picasso, and that's what some of these pieces are.
Oh, and that coat rack is his spine.
With nearly all of Wenzel's
body
covered in ink, Sherwood believes that this will be the largest tattoo preservation ever to be done in North America. Respected tattoo artist and local business owner, Wenzel had been practicing the art since first tattooing his aunt at the age of 9.
It's a little gruesome for me.
He was known for his dynamic, bold, and detailed imagery. The two worked alongside one another and learning from Wenzel. The other tattoo artist commented in this, said he had been the best part of his career. So they're going to save his skin and his tattoos. And I guess they're going to mount him. Yeah, it's pretty wild. All right, and there you go. That's what I got for you in the Bizarre File. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We have a guest to tell you about a charity event coming up. Very cool stuff, as well as lesson question, trash, and music news. It's on the way in just a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
33 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. Here we are once again on I almost said a Friday.
It feels like it, though, doesn't it?
It feels like that. Yeah. Hopefully it feels like Friday for you as well. But we're going to continue with that sensation and give away our Word of the Week prize at the end of the program. So only three letters. It's a pretty simple one. So we'll have that for you in a moment or two. I am beating this to death because you need to know about it, but one change in programming for Monday's Camp Out for Hunger, which is the skate on Flyers Ice, has been canceled.
Kills me.
Normally, I wouldn't say it over and over and over because, well, we would just contact the people that were winners or whatever. Well, we didn't do it that way. It was going to be first come, first serve, and we put the word out, and we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now, and so if you were going to show up with your skates, unfortunately, going to be disappointed. So I'm hoping to get the word out to people who had those plans. And if you did, we're sorry. It's not us. It's the Flyers organization. For some reason, they don't want to do it.
Could you show up with your donation anyway?
Please bring your donation.
Is it possible to come by with your donation?
I don't know why they wouldn't want you to, you know, show up and donate food, but that's what's happened.
Hey, and if you can help us get the word out, like if you knew somebody that was really, really excited about this, perhaps
that'd be great.
Didn't get the word, please let them know. It's out of our control.
And ask them to donate, too.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly what the whole thing is about. We look for every way to get people down. And as you said earlier, Preston, we've got it packed. We've got tons of stuff going on. This was just something that was a special experience that was so cool. But there you go.
Yep. I blame Gritty.
Gritty!
Just because.
No, easy. He can't talk.
I don't blame Gritty.
By the way, lest we forget, we were the first to be in the Gritty camp.
Yes, we were.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Right. No, it's Ron Hextall. Let's see. No, I don't know if he was behind it or not, but
Ron Hextall, he's the gritty customer.
It's just not that important anymore. So we're going to do today's lesson question, and Case, I need my lesson question music ready to go, please.
Okay,
because we are going to give away a pair of tickets in the Jackie Bam Bam row to join him for the Lynyrd Skynyrd show on Saturday, December 1st. So. Let's see. What are we going to do here? These are tough ones. All right. What has made Kathy Romano quite...
Romano.
Jesus Christ.
Nice. My name is Kathy Romano. I'm very happy to meet you.
I don't know if anybody would get this or not.
All right. Well, give it a shot.
Try it.
What has made Kathy Romano quite so confident today? Quite confident. No. What has made Kathy Romano quite confident today?
That's a hard one, but let's go for it.
Yeah.
Kathy,
I don't
know.
What's
Kathy?
That?
Kathy doesn't know.
Well, you don't know it?
It's.
I said it real quick.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And it did.
215-263-WMMR. Has it just worn off, or is it? Did you reapply?
You just gave me
I'm giving
answer.
It away. No, I didn't. They don't know.
All right.
All right, 215-263-WMMR, and we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and it's brought to you this morning by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. Sportsmen of Greater Philadelphia get to French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville starting this Friday to Sunday for their Black Friday sale. Best in-store deals and too low to advertise. FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for details. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, England is completely enamored of photos showing Prince Charles on his 70th birthday playing with his new grandson, baby Prince Louis. One picture in particular shows Charles letting the infant crawl around inside his ear. On the eve of the release of his latest album, Aaron Carter telling TMZ he gets no respect from kids these days, even though he's the original Justin Bieber. Carter told the tabloid he still got it as he took the stage at a 2 p.m. show at the Golden Corral.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Lindsay Lohan has been aggressively hitting on Kylie Jenner's ex, Tyga, through multiple posts on Instagram. Tyga's apparently intrigued, saying that Lohan reminds him of his absolute favorite ashtray. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. What has made Kathy Romano quite confident today? We will go to Joe for the answer. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Well,
beautiful, nice. Joe.
All right, what has made Kathy quite confident today?
That would be her new lipstick.
He's right. Yeah. Her new lipstick. Hang on, Joe. We are going to give you. Yeah, we are going to give you a pair of tickets in the Jackie Bam Bam row to join him for the Lynyrd Skynyrd show Saturday, December 1st at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. Tickets for the show are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Anybody want to know why Casey chose this as our winning music today? It's very clever.
Thank you.
Do not know.
It's a tough one.
My lipstick?
No, not your lipstick. This is a song called Turkey in the Straw. Well done.
Look at that kid over there.
Look at that guy.
Look at that Casey.
All right, so anyhow. Kath, were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to tell you, yes, it wore off.
Oh, it did wear off. Okay. Yeah. All right, gotcha. Let's do music news, and then we are going to speak to a guest who's here in the studio.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Dickhead.
Brought to you this morning by Worldwide Stereo. Take your gift giving up a notch. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at worldwidestereo.com. Of course, you can head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. This is interesting. Rumors of a 50th anniversary celebration of 1969's legendary Woodstock Festival have been circulating since early this year, and recent reports indicate that acts such as Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, and Coldplay could be approached about performing at the event if it does happen in 2019.
I thought it was going to be the original.
Yeah, Hendrix.
It's being tough.
Casey went to the 1999 event.
What's up, 99?
It was horrible.
It was a terrible, horrible, horrible, terrible experience.
I forget where it was.
It was in Rome.
Okay.
Rome, New York.
Not the original location,
Not
right?
the original location.
They couldn't get it.
No. They had, I had made some mistakes, in my preparation for the entire event. One was not bringing enough water and stuff like that. They were charging like $10 a bottle of water. They didn't clean the porta pots.
I don't think you could have planned, because we were hearing, we knew about it in the media. It was all over the news about the just horrible things that were going on, sewage issues and all that stuff. It was just disgusting.
And you knew, like, it was descending into madness, and you could see it from the time you got there until, when the riots happened. You knew something was going to happen. People started, graffitiing on it, calling it profit stock, and it was oppressively hot as well.
There's a lot of grabby guys, too, remember?
Yep.
Taking advantage of women.
Whirling, I think they call that.
Yeah, it went bad. I think it will be a different story now.
Yes.
I think, of course, the bands have a lot to do with it, too. It was a little more aggressive musically,
well, also,
I think, wasn't it?
I think the outfitters, the people that put these things on, they're getting better at it, right?
Like, well, you have multiple things that are huge festivals where they know how to handle crowd control. They know how to do these sort of things. And the state of the art and the crowd surveillance is a lot more comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa, did you want to say something or not? Yeah, I can't tell.
Well, I was just going to add that if they do this, my brother's best friend, my sister-in-law's best friend, lives right on the farm next to this farm.
Oh, no kidding.
So we should broadcast from there.
There you go.
All right, the only way I'll be able to go.
Oh, I'd love to be in that mud.
The Festival Owl has shared images from a marketing deck used to promote the potential concert to sponsors. And one of the slides indicates a list of possible artists that include the three already mentioned, as well as these. And by the way, none of these are confirmed. This is just rumors.
It's all rumor.
This is a wish list. So they're looking at Lorde, The Weeknd, Mumford & Sons, Lumineers, Ariana Grande, Eminem, Graham Nash, Neil Young, Santana, The Who, Fish, Joan Baez, Bon Jovi, Elton John, The Doobie Brothers, Zac Brown Band, Florida Georgia Line, Daft Punk, Chainsmokers, Chance the Rapper, Pink, and more.
Well, that is a pretty stellar lineup.
That's phenomenal. That's between
what they're hoping for and what they get.
Yeah. Although that's merely a wish list, not a single artist has been confirmed so far. Original Woodstock promoter Michael Lang told the Poughkeepsie Journal that he is very close to finalizing a deal for a 50th anniversary event. He said, "We have definite plans. These are plans. This is not a done deal yet, but it's very close."
Yeah, I also thought the mixture of people there was a terrible mixture as well. You had like a whole bunch of different sort of agendas there. You had like, I think Megadeth was playing.
Megadeth.
You know, so you had like.
You had the William Hung fans.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit was there.
Yeah. Like, so you had like some like hardcore metal. And then you had like, people there to see Guster, you know. It was, man, you didn't like it. Well, you know what, Steve? Here it is almost 20 years later. And I'm still alive, and it was an experience. It was an experience. I was,
So was Normandy,
but I don't want to say I was happy to be there. But like, I had a really interesting perspective. You know, when the riots were happening and the huge glow war ended up taking place, like that was kind of cool to watch.
All right, Weezer has invited a fan named Kira Iaconetti to one of the band's upcoming shows in 2019 after footage of her singing the group song Island in the Sun in the midst of having brain surgery went viral. I watched the video. It's pretty cool. The 19-year-old Iaconetti, an aspiring musician, was recently diagnosed with a form of epilepsy that triggers seizures when she listens to or performs music. She explained about the condition. "I just felt like a light switch switches in my brain and suddenly I'm tone deaf. I can't sing. I can't process the words."
That's amazing.
In time with the music. So doctors decided that Iaconetti could be treated for her condition through an awake craniotomy, in which she's put on her anesthesia but kept awake during the surgery and then asked to sing so that doctors could see which part of her brain was in use when she sang.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep. Video footage of Iaconetti singing during her surgery has since emerged. She sang the 2001 Weezer track Island in the Sun. since it both reminded her of her birthplace in Hawaii and because it contained the line, I can't control my brain.
Oh, wow.
So she did that for both those reasons. The surgery was successful, with Seattle Children's Hospital confirming that Iaconetti was playing guitar and singing in her hospital bed 48 hours after the operation.
Did you see that footage of Chad Kroeger on stage performing Photograph while getting a colonoscopy?
No.
It was amazing. Wow.
Following the publication of Iaconetti's remarkable story, Weezer reached out and invited her to join them on one of their tour dates next
That's so cool.
spring. All right, what's the right way to pronounce the band name Blink 182? Well, the matter has apparently been a source of debate that has grown to encompass the members of the group itself, as well as late-night host James Corden. It all started when Late Late Show co-head writer and stand-up Ian Carmel noted on Twitter, the British call Blink 182 Blink 182, and I'm not saying that's why they lost the Revolutionary War, but... And when British fans asked the comic how Americans say it, he informed them it was 182. And that's when Carmel's boss Corden weighed in, admitting that the British pronunciation was wrong, but that so was the American way. He joked, technically, it should be called Blink 182. Don't take some moral high ground here, he said. And it finally took a member of the band itself to jump into the debate. And bassist Mark Hoppus tweeted that either 182 or 182 was fine. He took issue with another common mistake, though. He said, in all of this, I feel that we've lost sight of the fact that the B in Blink 182 should be lowercase. And former Blink member Tom DeLonge also chimed in, screwing things up even more by writing, it's actually Blink 182. People have all gotten this wrong for years. Sometimes this can happen with very complex, thoughtful, and elevated art. Blink 182, say it any way you want, is expected to release a new album in 2019. And then finally, Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry has canceled his remaining tour dates for 2019, with fans receiving full ticket refunds. Of course, he was rushed to the hospital back in November, following a guest stint with Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden the next day. They said he was all right, but he was set to undertake a 10-city solo tour later this month with his backing band featuring Brad Whitford and Extreme frontman Gary Cherone. They were going to be playing the Electric Factory on December 5th, or what is now known as the Franklin Music Hall, and that's been canceled. So check with your point of purchase and find out what the return thing is on that. You should be taken care of.
All right, hope he's okay.
Yes, and there you go. That's what I have for you in music news. Our next guest, I want to apologize to. We got her on later than she was originally scheduled, but we are happy to have her here this morning. There is an event coming up on December 1st. It will be at Mulan. Is that how you say it? Mulan at Sherman Mills in Philadelphia. It is the 7th annual evening with Emily's Entourage Gala. And this is Emily Yay! Herself who is here. Emily Kramer Golenkoff.
That's right.
That's right?
Yes.
Oh, thank God I got it right. Okay, how you doing, Emily?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. Now, you have cystic fibrosis, correct?
I do, yes.
All right, and you were diagnosed at what age?
I was diagnosed at 6 weeks
Okay,
old.
And for those who may not know, cystic fibrosis, so when somebody says, what's that?
Yeah.
How do you tell them?
It is a fatal genetic lung disease that primarily affects the lungs, but it actually affects the whole body.
Okay, and in that, so like, we can't shake hands with you today.
That's right.
Because something severe, something like, it's cold and flu season. If you were to get sick, it could get really bad real quick, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So even the smallest virus or cold can be catastrophic for people with cystic fibrosis. So during flu season, we use spirit fingers at our gala, actually, yeah. Instead of hugs.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you just look like this?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I love that.
That's a great idea.
There's a movie coming out. I was telling these guys about it. It's 6 feet apart, I think, is the name of it. It's based on a book 5 feet apart. Or
yeah.
There's a couple of feet apart. Mm-hmm. But the basic gist of it is with patients who are experiencing cystic fibrosis, they have to keep that's the suggested amount of space to stay apart, correct?
Yeah, so there is this really unique feature of cystic fibrosis, a really sad feature, actually, where people with CF have bacteria in their lungs that are not contagious to normal, healthy people,
yeah.
But that can be spread between other people with cystic fibrosis. So the only other people in the world who really go through exactly what we go through are actually, unfortunately, the biggest threat to our health. And so we can't be anywhere near other people with CF. When we go to the doctor, we have to wear masks and keep a distance, and it's pretty severe.
That's, you know, because normally if you have a disease or some type of ailment in, you know, a support group or something like that, you want to meet with other people. And I'm sure you can meet with people, but you just can't get too close to them because of that fact.
You're actually, so you're not supposed to have more than one person with cystic fibrosis in the same inside room at the same time. So it really is it is pretty limiting, and it's really sad because, you know, these are people who go through the same things that you do. And like you said, support groups are such an invaluable lifeline when you're going through, you know, a really terrible illness. But I am thankful that we live in an age where there is the internet. Because,
yes, and FaceTime and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because there, as a result of this, there are these online, thriving online communities of people with CF. So I have really close friends with CF that I will never meet, but I know some of the most intimate details of their lives.
Okay. So I'm going to reiterate the information. December 1st, 7 p.m., Mulan at Sherman Mills in Philadelphia. And you can get the tickets through emilysentourage.org. Once again, that's emilysentourage.org. And over the years, they've raised $1.7 million. It started in 2012.
Actually, it's closer to $4
million
now.
Whoa!
That's right.
Our figures were off just a tiny bit.
And what was the recognition you got from President Obama?
So we had the huge honor of being named White House Champions for Change for the Precision Medicine Initiative by President Obama back in 2015.
Wow, that's awesome. I wanted to ask about your treatments, your medical treatments. You do daily treatments?
I do. I do about 3 to 4 hours of daily medical treatments when I'm healthy.
When you're healthy, what about when you're not healthy? How long does it go for?
When I'm not healthy, I have to go into the hospital and I get IV antibiotics to help fight the infections ravaging my lungs.
So, if you don't mind me asking, you said it's fatal, but you had when you were an infant, you were diagnosed. I mean, can the effects be mitigated for a long period of time?
You know, it's a great question, and the good news is that there are game changing breakthroughs for about 90% of the CF population. But the reason that we started Emily's Entourage is because, unfortunately, I have what's called a nonsense mutation, and I fall in the 10% that doesn't have any breakthroughs. And so the work that we're doing is singularly focused on trying to accelerate breakthroughs for the outlying 10%.
What about the recent, I know they passed into, I guess, law, they're allowing a greater patient action on drugs that haven't been fully tested, but people can, in a trial period, you can
volunteer.
You can avail yourself of them. Does that present any options for you as well in this situation?
So right now, so unfortunately, there are no drugs that are available yet for the 10%.
Okay.
So our work right now, we have 9 active research projects, and that's really what we're trying to change.
All right.
We've awarded about $3.4 million to research grants to try to get drugs in the pipeline so that patients can get lifesavers.
Okay.
How old are you, by the way, Emily?
I'm 33.
33 years old. That's cool.
You look like you're 18.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. How many people come out to this event? I mean, what's the figure?
Yeah, last year we had over 500 people at the event.
Whoa.
And actually even more than that, because those were the 500 that were there in person. But we live stream because of these cross-infection guidelines with the CF community. We actually live stream our entire program on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram. And so we have thousands more people that are also able to attend virtually.
It's like a global community, is it?
That's exactly right.
So as in your daily life, I mean, I assume going out often is problematic, but what is your, are you out and about with any regularity, or what goes on in your life?
Yeah. So, you know, we work incredibly hard to try to advance the mission of Emily's Entourage and to try to accelerate breakthroughs for the outlying 10%. But, you know, my personal philosophy is that, you know, I take a lot of precautions and I try to play it as safe as possible. I have really advanced stage lung disease. I have about 31% lung function, so I don't have a cushion if I were to get sick. But at the same time, you can't live in a bubble. And so you take the precautions that you can, but still go out and, you know, live your life and try to make a change in the world.
Sure.
Sometimes you got to party. And that's right. That's what you guys are doing on December 1st. What will be at the party? What types of activities? Yeah, food, drink? And...
Yeah, it's an it's a magical evening. We have a silent auction. We have an incredibly inspiring program. We have really cool entertainment, some surprise entertainment that we have yet to officially announce. And really, we it's a community event where you really feel how deeply committed all 500 people who show up are to make a difference and to save lives.
Are you will be on hand for this?
I will be there and I will be speaking.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we'll have that information up on PrestonandSteve.com. I'm sure it is already. And should I check the community page?
Yes,
Nick?
Sir. Yeah.
Okay. Just click on the events and go to the community page of PrestonandSteve.com. Or you can go to emilysentourage.com. And then it's going to be December 1st. What day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday, and it's actually emilysentourage.org.
Thank you for having an event on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
As opposed to like on a Monday when we always get asked good things. No,
yeah.
Man, Saturday night's where you got to do it. All right, cool. Well, listen, great. It sounds like a great event. Seventh annual one. Continued success. Thanks for coming by this morning.
Thank you so much.
Let's hear for Emily, guys.
Yeah.
Emily Kramer-Golenkoff. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Get ready to wrap things up. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Nice, bright, sunshiny day. Got a little breeze. Today's high, 46. Tomorrow, we drop dramatically the high temperature. Is not going to get out of the 20s. It's going to be in the upper 20s. That is the high temperature, which means low is 17 degrees.
Yeah.
I try to think that in a couple of months we'll think that this is balmy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
When we get those sub-temperatures.
Absolutely. And you stop and think about it. If we were just 40 to 50 million miles closer to the sun.
We wouldn't have this
problem. Wouldn't have an issue. But you know what? I think, Preston, if you're out in the sun, it'll be breezy and everything. But, when you get the sun on your face, mm-hmm. It'll be fine. And the natural joy and wonderment that is the parade will warm you up to 28.
28 degrees or so. But, no, I've only been bitching about it because I'm going to be out for several hours. And my son, of course, who's going to be in the parade, is going to be out there for quite a while. But that's tomorrow. And we'll deal with that tomorrow. It's going to be all right. And tomorrow is possibly my favorite holiday of the year.
It's awesome.
I love Thanksgiving.
And tomorrow, if you need to, you'll be able to access the body warmth of Cecily Tynan.
And by the time Saturday and Sunday roll around, we'll be in mid-50s.
Close to 60 on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
So we will enjoy that. Before I do the thank yous and all that stuff, we have a caller on the line that I'm going to go to. First, hi, caller, you're on the air. Good morning.
I love my family.
This is a representative from the Flyers.
Yes.
The skate's back on.
Oh, wow.
No.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, Preston. Hi, Steve. Hey, hello, Kathy. Hello, Marissa. Hello, Kishy Boy. And hello, Nick McElwain. Hello, family.
Hello to you, my family member.
Hey, I just want to take this time and say thank you for a great year, and I hope you
do we have holiday music?
Have a great, great time with your family tomorrow. Have a spectacular day with your family tomorrow.
Wow.
I love you all. And happy Thanksgiving tomorrow with your family.
What are you
and
doing?
I'll see you next week. I'm looking forward to seeing my family next week.
Gary, what are you doing tomorrow for Thanksgiving proper?
Look, man, I'm off. I have to be at work at 3:30 today. I'm off.
Okay.
Tomorrow. And then back to work, man. I love you so. I just
well, hang on.
Have a great day with your family.
No. Gary, hang on. Are you gonna have a Thanksgiving meal tomorrow?
Oh yeah, man. I'm cooking it live. Right here, man.
Wow. Yeah.
He's cooking live.
Luckily, a squirrel got hit out in front of the house.
God. You guys rock. I'll see you next week. I love each and every one of you.
Well, no, it's like you called us and you're rushing us off the phone.
He's got to go.
Gary, how'd the reunion go?
I'm sorry. I got Taiwan on the phone. I got to take this.
Preston Elliott.
Right.
The reunion was incredible. It was off the hook. I was treated like royalty.
Really?
All my friends I haven't seen in 30 years.
Juniata Park. That's right. Juniata Park reunion.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
A Harvard class in 93.
Yeah, man.
Many of them could not high five as you'd hope because they were still shackled to their feet.
Shotgun Steve Morrison. Give me a break.
All right. You know I love you. You know I would have been there if I had remembered or wanted to go. But the truth of the matter is, for you, it meant a lot, and we're happy that you had a good time.
Listen, Shotgun Seymour, you and your beautiful wife have a great day tomorrow.
You know what? I will do that. I'll be thinking of you. We want to see you out at the camp out. It should be fun. And I understand that you're going to reveal, quite possibly, a new nickname for one of the members of the show.
Yeah, on Thursday, I'll be there dressed to impress.
Yes, with about a quart of phlegm.
Right. Okay. Have a great day with your family.
All right. We love you, Gary. Right. You know Gary. We do. We have fun with you, but we love you.
Sweet tea, Captain Ron. I love you. Have a great day with your family.
Hey, love you.
All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Winner of the Fields Medal. Gary Lowen.
He really is the best. I do love him.
No, I love having him on.
Yeah. He's a solid guy. He's basically always just fired out of a cannon. And I asked him what he was doing for Thanksgiving. And I thought his story about having to go to work today at 3 o'clock was exactly the answer I needed.
Yeah. Your line, I'm sorry I missed the event, which I wouldn't have wanted to go to. Whatever it was you said was brilliant as
Thank
usual.
You.
Marissa and I have to go like full defense though and dodge his wet kisses that come in every time he sees
it. It's one of my favorite things to see, to be honest, the way you turn your head.
It's you know what it's like,
I think
Preston?
Marissa
beelines
it.
If you want to watch expert dodging, watch Beverly D'Angelo in Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. As, Uncle, or Cousin Eddie.
As Cousin Eddie goes in for the kiss, she does the move.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's so good.
There are some people, when you go to kiss them, they will turn away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's me.
Is it? Okay.
That is Kathy.
Here, I'll show you. It wasn't.
Unless it's Josh Dumas.
It wasn't earlier.
Kath, we need to have, you know, like in some churches, that thing where they fan themselves with.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You need to have one of those where you just put them right in between you and Gary.
Somebody bring me something so I can dodge Gary's
battle.
Kisses.
When you guys tried to hook him up with a date that time, you said, all right, let's practice. And you say, all right, say you see a nice girl at the bar. What would you do? And he goes, hey, darling, what you doing?
You know what?
You might not want to open with, hey, darling.
Right, right.
No, he kept saying
clams. Like, you're a beautiful clam, right?
Yeah, and then Kathy said, stop thinking of clams.
You're a beautiful clam. A beautiful hairy clam.
That's where that came from?
Yes. Hey. Wow. I think, you know, I would like to see you naked.
Yeah.
Look at your private parts and everything.
We told him to back off of the whole clam thing.
How about what are you reading these days?
Yeah.
Real quick, I would like to thank our guest today, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Great to talk to him, man. Instant Family in theaters now. And the movie Mile 22 is available on Blu-ray. He's a great, great interview. Love talking to him. Thank you to our Not Your Average listener, Warren Anders, and his daughter Evelyn and son Kaiser, who came by. And Warren has, and I forgot the name of the organization, it's to teach fathers how to do their daughter's hair.
Daddy Daughter Hair Factory.
Yeah.
Lauer House.
Overwhelming response on the text messages of what a great idea that was.
It is a great idea.
And how great was it to talk to Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
Kevin is great. We talked about the life and legacy of Stan Lee and a few other things that Kevin had going on. And thank you to our charity mention, Emily Kramer Gillenkoff, who was here. She has cystic fibrosis. 7th annual evening with Emily's Entourage Gala is taking place on the 1st. We have all the information at PrestonandSteve.com, so it's all good. We only need one more letter, Pierre. I know it's a short week. You ready to do this thing?
I am.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
E, as in eternal.
All right, and we'll take the 9th caller at 215-263-WMMR, and we will award you that Word of the Week prize if you can indeed give us a word. So once again, 215-263-WMMR. That is a number. Call now. How are things?
Well, I wanted to mention what a great time I had at the calendar release party last night.
Did you show up?
Because I was at the gymnasium, and I got to get out of here at a certain amount of time so I can get from there to the Blue Route, to the 95, to up to the sports complex and get off. And I did. And
what time did you get there?
About 10 minutes to 10, and you said it was 7 to 10, and I parked, and I go, well, I'll at least be able to say hello to a few folks and say hello to the P&S, and I walked in, and not one of you was there. not any evidence that the event had even taken place was there. That platform, they had already rearranged, and I walked up, looked at it,
walked back out and back out the other side.
So let me explain.
But I did go, so I forgot to mention that, and I just want to put that in credit on my credit file.
Done. We'll put you in the credit file. But it, you know, so they things went very expeditiously, and we got it done quickly, and so we were done. And somebody goes, "Hey guys, the Sixers game is about to end."
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we are getting the hell out of here now. We wanted to skip traffic, and it couldn't have been much.
Just a few minutes later.
Just shortly before
we
you got
just
there.
Just beat it, yeah.
But we're like, all right, let's go. We want to get stuck in traffic, and we got out of there.
And actually, Jinkies itself, because there were a lot of people there for the game as well. So what happened is earlier on, a lot of people just grabbed their calendars and took off because it was just a confluence of events that we were going to create a lot of traffic. But I had no idea you showed up.
No, it's all good.
Yeah,
I wanted to mention that, and there weren't even MM Army members left there. I mean, and
did you go to the back bar?
No.
Oh, because there was.
No.
That's where everyone was.
I stayed and watched the game.
Yeah,
had me.
How about that Jimmy Butler?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
Jimmy, man.
Yeah.
But
he
you
does
weren't
that
the only.
Again, I'm gonna go crazy.
You weren't the only one, Pierre, because our current intern and former calendar girl Jasmine also wanted to come down and attend. She got there at about 10:05, and she was expecting the party to still be going, and she was wrong.
Well, any good party goes after the time it says it's going to go, but it's been trending earlier in the last couple of years. Anyway,
yeah. With crowd management, it makes a big difference,
which is a good incentive for me to get there. At like maybe 9:30 next
year.
Yes, I'm gonna really put my hat on for that.
You should.
And
put
one other
on.
Thing I wanted to mention while I have the floor is to invite people out for a couple of things. I will be doing a Thanksgiving show tomorrow, and that means
Alice's Restaurant.
Three times. 10 a.m., the original version. Noon, I have the 25th anniversary version. It's, I think, 51 years old. It's 1 year older than MMR. And then at 2 p.m., we do the original again, and we do that on vinyl at 2 o'clock. So three playings of Alice's Restaurant. Everyone asks, 10 a.m., 12 noon, 2 p.m., and then on and then a lot of other fun things. And it'll be the Thanksgiving show, which a lot of people seem to enjoy while they're getting ready and or traveling. And then Saturday, I will be out with a legendary Brew Review at the World Cafe for their annual Thanksgiving show. And worldcafelive.com has a few tickets. One of the most fun bands you will ever see. Brew
and that's Review. A tradition, too, right?
Yeah. They do a Thanksgiving show and a Christmas show, and I host them both, and I'll be there for the World Cafe show Saturday night. So if you've had enough family and enough food, if you're back in the area, or even if you have never left the area, this is the place to be Saturday night.
Cool, man. Excellent. All right, well, let me go to the phones, and I'm going to get Beth Ann on the line. She was caller number 9. Hey, Beth Ann.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Do you happen to know the word of the week?
Pie.
Great day in the morning.
Pie is correct. Beth Ann, hang on just a second. We are going to get your information, and we're going to give you a Flyer Santa sack. That's two lower-level tickets, an autograph puck, a collectible gritty ornament, two Philadelphia Wings tickets, and more. Santa sacks are the ultimate Flyers gift, and they're on sale now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. What's on today's program, Pierre?
On today's program, we will have cool workforce blocks, including Led Zeppelin. Jason Bonham will be at the Borgata at the smaller room on Friday, which I can't remember the name of at this moment. It escapes me, but the smaller room of the two rooms at the Borgata.
The Music Box?
Yes, thank you. There music you Box, Saturday. Friday, and Friday or Saturday or Friday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. No, he's going to actually be there doing his Led Zeppelin.
His new fluid tour.
Yes. And then the rest of it will be holograms. It'll be Friday at the Borgata Led Zeppelin. So we'll do a workforce block and some other cool things, which I actually haven't quite figured out yet, plus the vinyl cut. It'll be fun.
It will be fun. Let me thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's normally at this time when I tell you what's coming up tomorrow, but or next week. We're obviously off for the holiday the rest of the week, but Camp Out for Hunger, ladies and gentlemen,
begins on
Monday. And you can see a list of events and things that Marissa has put up, a very comprehensive
a link for you to look at just all things you need to know about the campout, or maybe reminisce about a campout's past.
Yes.
And make your plans to come and hang out with us.
But remember, it's you that makes it work. So, yes. You know, from the one bag to the full corporate donation, it doesn't matter. It's all essential because you're feeding people. We can't thank you enough for your constant generosity.
So the next time we crack the mic, we'll be at Xfinity Live for that broadcast, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great Thanksgiving and weekend, and we'll see you Monday, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
To the person who stole $2,500 out of our checking account, I really hope it helps you have a wonderful holiday, happy Thanksgiving, and a Merry Christmas, and that you're able to turn your life around.
Next message.
I love to eat my pie when she get home from work.
Next message.
Okay, so today's the most heavily traveled day of the year. All you rookie-ass bitches that hang in the left-hand lane, get the f*** out of there. It's called a fast lane for a reason. I have a bazooka, and I'm not afraid to use it.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.